Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. We're here live and good to be with you. It's another live prophetic talk show where we actually do it more than we talk about it, that is ministered to you personally. So jump in there and get ready to go for it. And if you want to share a testimony or whatever you want to share, we can love to hear that. So let us know what's going on. You have something good to share. All right. All right. Call into the show tonight, 319-527-6027. If you don't know how to do that, we'll let you know. You can get your hand up and get prayer by clicking 1 on your phone. As you hear the Blog Talk Radio lady say, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. All right. Click 1 on your phone right then. And you got it. You're in. And your hand is up, which is really, really important. All right. Welcome to the place tonight, y'all. I gather my information here together. All right. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are glad you are here. All right, so if you want prayer tonight, make sure, like I said, get your hand up. And I can share with you how to do that when you call into the show, 319-527-6027. When it says welcome to Blog Talk Radio, click on 1 on your phone right away. Don't wait for anything else. Click 1 on your phone. And what it does, it puts a little hand up there. And that way I can see you got your hand up. In other words, you know, pray for me, or I want to talk or share something, or I got a testimony. All right? All right. So I'm going to train you. All right. It is Monday night, and we are glad to be here tonight. So like I say, if you need prayer tonight, get your hand up there. Click 1 on your phone. And you can be on the show waiting in line, so to speak. And you can also put your hand up by clicking 1 on your phone while you're sitting there. Just go back to your pad, phone pad, where you call into, you know, call a number, and you click 1 on that, and it'll get your hand up there. And you'll be ready to go. All right. All right, really good to be here tonight. All right. So let's see what's going on tonight. And we're going to pray for you guys and maybe visit a little bit and talk and share and see what's happening and see how God is treating you guys, or how, what you need prayer for, what you need intercession over. And we have a lot of people that are listening that are intercessors and prayer warriors, and they will pray for you and believe God with you for whatever you need. All right. All right. Okay, so thanks y'all are here tonight. The Lord has tonight. We're going to share the word a little bit. I think I have some things I would like to share. Hopefully I can do that. You know, one thing that we're looking forward to is, you know, the reward system that God has for us. And when we should teaching and talking about it like we did last week, maybe you missed out on some of that, but we were talking about how that rewards are not for you when you get to heaven. Of course, that's a storage place. That's the place where you offer them up to. Every time you do something, you do it as unto the Lord. And when you do that, you know, and of course, when you do something that is a good work, a work of the Holy Spirit, a work of faith, of course, that has to be, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you know that your rewards are only stored up in heaven for whenever you need them, when you do them as unto the Lord. In other words, you're trying to do something, just do something good, just to do something good. God may not reward you for that. You may feel good about yourself and all that, which is wonderful, but as far as getting the rewards from heaven, you're going to learn pretty soon, just like I am, that the rewards of the Lord or the treasures of God are laid up strictly through obedience to Christ, right? So we decide we're going to do whatever we want to do and do something really good. Maybe everybody else is doing it. We think we're going to do it too. And the Lord says, I don't want you to do that. I want you to do this. And we do the thing that he wants us to do instead of doing what everybody else is doing. And we do that. Then God rewards you for that. And if you do something good like everybody else may get rewarded for that. They have treasures laid up in heaven for what they're doing. But if you're not doing what God says, then that treasure is not laid up for you, right? It's just something you do. In other words, it says, lay not treasures up on the earth. In other words, some people do things in the earthly desire, in the earthly realm. Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 9, 10, 11, in there. It says, lay not up treasures on earth, but lay up treasures in heaven. And so when you realize laying up treasures on earth are doing things that you think are good, that I think are good, right? That's what laying treasures up on the earth are. Laying treasures up on earth isn't just hiding money under your mattress or wherever, up in the attic. By the way, I don't have any under the mattress or in the attic, in case anybody wants to know. So, you know, when you lay up treasures, he says, lay not treasures up on the earth, means that you do things according to the earthly realm or to the human realm or the physical realm or to the realm that you see. When you do things as in the flesh or in the natural, it may not be a bad thing, but you know what? God doesn't reward our righteousness, right? Righteousness is what we think is right. So we do what we think is right. God doesn't reward our righteousness, right? Our righteousness are as filthy rags. But many times what we do, we don't realize that our righteousness or the things that we're doing is our filthy rags. In other words, there's no reward for that. What's the rewards for? So we get rich? Well, it depends on what you call getting rich. Getting rich from the love of God, the power of God, getting money to pay your bills, take care of your children, send them to college, have money to help the poor and the needy. If you're calling that being rich, then yeah, that. So it's really awesome, right? So, you know, you realize that when you do things not according to the earthly realm, like everybody thinks this is the right thing to do, the right thing to do, and it's not the right thing God has you doing, then it's as filthy rags. In other words, I heard T.D. Jakes say one time that filthy rag was a minstrel rag. I thought that was a little bit rough, but somehow or another he got it from the Greek or Hebrew or something. I don't know where he got it from, but I believed it. You know, I'm going, man, what a way to describe our righteousness, right? The things that we think are right. And or as a minstrel rag. That's what T.D. Jakes says. I didn't say that. I'm just repeating what he said. He has some pretty amazing stuff sometimes. Anyway, so now that I see that, I'm going, that's the way God looks at it. He doesn't look at God, look what I'm doing for you. God looks at what he has you doing for him instead of what you're doing for him, right? It's what he has you doing for him instead of what you're doing for him. And so when we lay those things up on earth, or we do as things as our righteousness, what we think is right, well, they've got enough, you know, of that, so money or whatever, I'm gonna give my money somewhere else. Well, if God tells you to give your money to a place that has lots of money, what difference does it make? Who's in control of all this stuff, right? If he tells you to give money to a poor ministry or ministry that hasn't got anything, and you're thinking, what good is this going to do me? This is not going anywhere. It's not about that. We don't get our eyes on that. We have our eyes on what Jesus is saying to do. And we do that, then he rewards us. So what we have to do is find out, you know, God, what are you leading me to do? Because, Fran, your reward system comes, a lot of our rewards are going to come in the millennium, you know. What I mean by that is that when you're obeying God, God pays you very well. So when he pays you very well, when he had that when he gave up the talents, he gave the one talent who hid his in fear. He got the two who guy who got two talents and doubled his and made four, had two more, and then he had four. Another one he gave five, and he doubled his and had ten. Well, what does he do with those guys? The guy who had the most. So when you start realizing how, let me read that scripture to you. Let's read that. So I'm waiting for that scripture to come up as my internet is, there we go. All right, let's go to Matthew 25:14-30. Matthew 25:14-30. Matthew 25. I want to share some things with you that I think will help you understand where we're going and what we're doing. Okay, Matthew 25:14-30. So the one he gave, let's go to verse 15. To the one he gave five talents, to another he gave two talents, to another he gave one talent. Each according to his own ability. Amen. There you go. So you see that, according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. Now, I think God gives things according to our faith, right, or to our own ability, or our own ability, the faith that God has given us, right? So he gave each one of them the amount according to his own ability, or I'm going to say according to the faith God's given us. He doesn't give you something to do that you can't double it or increase it. Right. If you notice, in this situation, it's both double too. The year 2022, Isaiah 22:22, Joseph's two dreams, father and his brothers bowed down to him. The two dreams that Pharaoh had about a time of prosperity and a time of famine. You know, two dream. Each had two dreams, and he interpreted those dreams. 22:22. We're going to see the year 2022 a lot, 2022, and Isaiah 22:22 a lot, because God's speaking to me about that. And each one of these two that what they did with theirs, they doubled it, right? So they doubled his two. All right, and then he goes on to a journey. The servant who had received the five talents went at once and put them to work and gained five more. Likewise, the one who had two, but the one servant who had received the one talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Right? You know why? Because he was afraid. I want you to watch this and see how this servant knew how tough that the master was. And so I'm going to tell you tonight, and there's some areas of God, when you deal with him about producing what he's giving you to do, when he gives you something, if he sold it to you, that'd be different. If he's not selling it to you, right, he's giving it to you. And we need to learn this in the body of Christ, especially as leaders. We need to learn how to give things away, and then according to each person, according to their faith, and then watch them increase and multiply that. All right, so anyway, so after a long time, the master of those servants returned to settle accounts. So see, that's what we're looking at right now. We're looking at settling accounts. God is going to settle accounts, even financial accounts. We're going to talk about financial accounts as well as anything. But I'm going to show you tonight how tough the Lord is on some things. And some of you are going to go, man, that's cold. Exactly. It really is in a way. And you're going to see that about the Lord. Jesus Christ, the Father, God Almighty, and the Holy Spirit have different natures about them. And until you learn about all their natures, you're going to find out that in this particular parable, the part of him that is very, if you will, cold, as far as you didn't do what I asked, I gave you one, and you did what? You hid it. I'm going to take it away from you, and I'm going to give it to somebody else. And he gives it to the one who had the most. Now, how unfair does that seem? You think you'd give it to the one who had two, because then he had four, and now he had five. The other one already had 10, right? So you think, but that's not how he thinks. And so you're going to see this happen in the money realm with God and every other realm also. So after a long time, the master of those servants returned to settle accounts with them. The servant who had received the five talents came and presented his five talents, five more. Master, he said, you entrusted me. There's the word entrusted. See, I have gained five more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful. Faithful is a big word, with a few things. Sometimes God will test you with a few. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. The servant who had received the two talents also came and said, Master, you entrusted me with two talents. See, I have gained two more, double. All right, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been full with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Finally, now here's the part I want you to see tonight, friend. This is the part of God that you are going to find very soon. And in the financial realm, with all this thing we're doing in the market and what God's speaking about this, that if you've been a giver of PGN, you're going to find out God's going to bless you according to the measure you gave. And if you hid yours, if you hid it or are hiding it, then it's going to be taken away from you. I'm just going to tell you right now, this is the side of the Lord that many people don't want to see. They go, well, you know, he's more merciful than that. We know Jesus. We have a better covenant. This is the Jesus of the better covenant, friend. And you need to see him with the way he is in this particular area so that you're going to realize if you bury yours, he's not going to go, oh, poor little you, and say, oh, poor little you. He's not going to do that. All right? This is the Jesus of the Bible. And so watch this. Finally, the servant who had received the one talent came and said, Master, I knew that you are a hard man, being where you have not sowed and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what belongs to you. Wow. That did not make him happy. He said, you wicked, lazy servant, replied the master. You knew that, and he confirms here that what the servant knew, what they all knew about this master. It wasn't a wicked thing. It wasn't a bad thing. It's the way business is with God. The business side of God is very to the point, matter of fact, and seems cold in some ways. He says, you wicked and lazy servant, replied his master. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Then you should have deposited my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents, the most. For everyone who has will be given more, and he who will have an abundance, but the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. This is the Lord Jesus, y'all. This isn't the devil. This isn't some guy in a bad mood. This isn't some judge who's a bad judge. This is explaining how God Almighty deals with when he gives you money, when he gives you blessings, when he gives it to you, what are you doing with it? What are you doing? If you're doing what God says and you're multiplying it and increasing it and doing it, because anytime you do something unto the Lord, you do it unto him, you're sending forth multiplication, you're sending forth increase. Because when you do what God says, you increase. When you don't do what the Lord says, then you lose what you have been given. And throw that worthless servant into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. All right, so that's kind of the tough side of the Lord. You know, and but we need to give people all of Jesus, not just some of Jesus. God wants us to give us, we're going to, the Lord says we're going to start being very upfront, very, decisive, very about how Jesus deals with things, how God deals with things. This is not, he did not say, oh, I'm not like that. Yeah, I'm not like that. No, I'm not like that at all. No, he said, yes, you knew that I was like that. You knew I reaped where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Then you should have deposited my money with the bankers, and on my return, I would have received it back with interest. So we see the Lord talking about himself. This is something that Jesus is talking about, and he's talking about himself. Friend, this is a part of God, the business side of God, if you will, that says, you know, I gave you something. I said, go out, do something with it. I didn't give you more than you can handle. I gave you enough that you can work with, you can handle. When you run in fear and you hide it and you do whatever you want to do with it instead of what I pay you to do with it, then you end up in loss. And so this is what the Holy Spirit is about to teach us all. This is what the Holy Spirit, we are about to see this in raw form at PGN and, with the body of Christ. And God's going to use PGN as an example of how God deals with some of these things. We're going to see his mercy and his grace, miracles, signs, and wonders, and God forgiving and all that at the same time. But in what he's given you, when God gives you something, gives you a job, he gives you money, you're getting money somehow, you're getting blessed, you're getting anointing, you're getting all kinds of things. What are you doing with that? Are you doing what God says? Are you just doing, well, you know, I think I'll just kind of, oh, I think I'll do whatever I, oh, you know, I think I'll start doing this over here. The Lord's going like, you know, you're hiding it. You're not doing what I said. You're doing your own thing with it. So, you know, and I've done this, and I've watched my reward system and the blessings that came to me. Because what God wants to do is he wants you to understand when he gives you something, he gives it to you to increase. That's what he told Adam and Eve. He said, be fruitful and multiply and increase and fill the earth, not only with children, but just fill the earth with, you know, the things of God. And, of course, they didn't. And, therefore, they lost everything. And so God doesn't want us to lose. That's why he's trying to tell us. God's not going to go, oh, you never did do what I said. Oh, it's okay, honey, sir, my little beloved brother. Oh, yeah, no, it's okay. No. He's going to deal with it very upfront, exactly the way I'm reading it to you. So you need to get ready for that. You wonder why things seem to be taken away from you and other people are getting blessed? They just might be ended up with the stuff that you have, friend. Yeah, and I'm telling you, this is literally going, we're going to literally watch this happen in the body of Christ. So if you're, whatever you're doing, with whatever God has given you, whether it's finances, a job, your time, whatever it is, the principle is the same. He wants you to take it and use it and multiply it and increase it, and he doesn't give you anything more than what you can handle, according to the scripture I just read you. So I want you to get into that, if you would, and look at it and start asking God to show you how you fit into that and how to, if you've been messing that up, turn it around. Turn it around as quickly as possible. You can ask God to forgive you, and then he'll say, if you show him that you're going to be trustworthy, he'll turn around and make it to where you can do more. Once he sees that you're going to be doing what he says, because he knows that if you do what you want to do with it, it's going to get lost. He knows that if you do what you think is right, your own righteousness, it's going to be as a menstrual rag, according to T.D. Chase, a filthy rag. You understand what I'm saying, friend? That's how God sees this. It is right up front. This scripture, when the servant who said, I know you are a hard man, said, Master, you entrust me this. Okay, let me read it right here. So I knew that you are a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. Right. So you see, that's a part of God's nature. And the sooner we learn that, but look what he did with the other guys. Did he just say, okay, give me half that five back. I'm going to keep half that five that I gave you. I'm going to keep half that two. Give me one back. No, you know what he did? He increased them and multiplied them, and he made them, gave them a lot more responsibility. He said, you know, I'm going to bless you. You're going to be in charge of many things. And being in charge of many things is a blessing, because when God makes you in charge of things, that means he's giving you the ability to do it, like he did Joseph. He gave Joseph the ability to watch over all of Egypt and to save the world, right? That's really what he did with food. And so whatever faith, measure of faith God's giving you, friend, let me tell you something. Don't be afraid. Don't let fear get a hold of you. Don't let the fear of COVID, the fear of a pandemic, let the fear of what the market might do or might not do, what the fear of what could happen, you know, because that's what happens. People start hiding in fear, and when they hide in fear, God comes back and he says, oh, well, where's that? God, you know, I got afraid because everybody was saying we're going to go down. And the Lord says, but did I tell you we're going to go down? No, I didn't tell you we're going to go down. That's not what I said. So you hid yours in fear. Now I'm going to take it away from you and give it to another friend. That's the way God's going to deal with it. And so if you've been in fear, you know, he's not going to go, poor little thing. You know, he gave you a measure of faith to resist that fear. Right? He's given you the measure of faith to deal with whatever hand that has been dealt you. So understand that you may think you can't do it, but you can't. God has given you the ability to do it. You can do it. And when you do it, he's going to bless you abundantly. I'm going to make you in charge of many things. I'm going to make you look really good. Yeah, you took a little bit. You took a few things. He sold the ones who had the five and the two. He said, you took a few and did good with it. Now I'm going to give you, put you in charge of many things. You know what? The rewards went up too. When he put them in charge of those things, they reaped the benefits of some of that. They got a little bit out of everything, because that's the way God sets it up, right? You eat the harvest of what God puts you in charge of. Yeah. All right. So if you've been in fear, if you've been hiding, if you've been doing those things, okay, you know, he'll forgive you for it. But start taking what he's given you and do something with it. Obey God with it. Don't just do whatever you feel like. They got enough money off that church or that ministry or that thing. Whatever. I think I'll just do whatever I want. I think I'm going to help these people over here because I'm feeling sorry for them. You know, friend, don't feel sorry for people. I mean, you know, do what God says. Don't let human, the natural world realm, draw you into pity on something that God is not working with you. He'll use somebody else. Just do what he tells you to do. And when you do that, he will bless you and reward you and put you in charge of anything. Well, I don't want a lot more responsibility. What he's really saying here is that I'm going to make you like, you know, the mayor, and I'm going to bless you and I'm going to pay you well for it. Because God always pays us well. Right? Especially when we have shown him that we'll do what he tells us to with what he has given us. And so let God teach you and help you with that. You've had fear. You know, he'll forgive you for your fear. Is he going to give, you know, what you've hidden back to you? No. But he'll give you more if you show him that you'll do something with it. Right? That's all you got to do. Say, God, forgive me for what I've done in my fear. I'll do better with more if you give me more. And the Lord goes, okay, I'll forgive you. And I'll give you more to deal with. And when you deal with it properly, I will bless you abundantly. Abundantly. All right, y'all. I hope you're doing well tonight. We're going to cut it short with our preaching tonight. And move on a little bit here. So I have some other things I would love to share with you, but we seem to go there tonight. All right, we are looking at property right now. We've got our eyes on some stuff, so be praying with us about all that. Start praying the Lord's Prayer. right? How Jesus said to pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's the goal that God wants you to pray. It's not about getting to heaven. It's about doing things unto the Lord, unto the heavenly realm, unto the godly realm, unto the heaven realm. Do everything as unto heaven, as unto the Lord. In other words, you're doing everything unto him, which is heavenly, right? When you do that, he will reward you abundantly. All right. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen and amen. All right, we're going to talk about all those things. Matthew 6:19 is where he talks about do not store up treasures on earth where moth and rust and destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up the storehouse. Heaven is a storehouse, a really, really nice storehouse for yourselves. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Amen. In other words, do everything as unto the Lord. Matthew 6:19, that's where the scripture is at. All right, I want to make sure you get the scriptures tonight. And, And then the Lord's Prayer, of course, is Matthew 6:9. I think I just said that. So there you go. All right, let's take callers tonight, see what's going on, and talk to our friends tonight, see what's up with everybody. Everybody, let's take our callers tonight. Thank you for being with us. We have three or four people with their hand up. Thank you. I'm going to take our callers. God bless you. All right. Let's take 720-819. Tonight, see what's going on. All right, I think it's Jeff and Uke from Colorado, right?
That's right. Happy New Year to you, Randy, and everyone out there.
Yeah. Happy New Year to you guys. Yeah, I got your little Happy New Year's message. I don't know if you guys knew it, but you sent that on at exactly at 11:11 because that showed up on my end. I think I texted that back to you saying, and you text me at exactly 11:11. What were you guys doing out so late?
We had no plan to do that. That was just all coincidence. Holy Spirit, I guess, telling us to send it at 11:11. We just thought of you.
Oh, that's nice. 11:11 is good. Yeah.
We had a
fun night
of Thai food and karaoke.
Oh,
but I didn't
really?
Sing, don't worry.
Oh, really? You can sing. Sing for everybody.
No,
sing
I'll
happy
I'll
birthday to you or something. You're not going to do that, huh? Okay. you're a humble, smart man. That's all I can say.
We had
humble,
a great
smart
time.
Man. Yeah. All right, let's pray for
maybe
you guys.
It's
just for a second. Now, go ahead. Yeah, I'm going to meet you, and then we'll talk for a minute. Hang on just a minute. Let's do this first. Excuse me. All right. Thank you for Jeff and Yuki tonight, Father, from Colorado. We thank you, Jesus, for the fatherhood, God, how you're going to father them and reveal to them what a father that you are, the fatherhood of God, and make them I think the last time I prayed to you, I gave you a word, just like the father in you. God, awakening the father inside of you. And, you can father a lot of different things. You don't have to have children to father. You can father, you know, a business. You can father a, you know, a nation. You can father a church. You can father, you know, PGN. I kind of father PGN to a certain degree, you know, and God teaching you how to father things, how to father them. And because when you have a father's heart, Jeff, as God has put in you, every man has a father, has the heart of the father in them. And when you have children, it just seems to activate that. But some people don't know how to be a good father. They don't know how to be a godly father. Maybe we had good fathers. Maybe we didn't. Maybe they were sort of good. We don't really sure they were good or not. Whatever our opinion about our fathers are. But we always know that God is a good father. And so I see God really, you know, taking, reaping the good things from your, even from your, and then also taking the things of the father heart of God. And to father a business. You know, when you father a business, it's different than just having a business. You father it. You become, you know, it's like you give birth to that. Like it's, that's your children. This is yours. You know, it's like you treat it as a family instead of treating things as a, you know, just like a cold business. Like the scripture we just read about Jesus, actually. That wasn't cold business, but, I mean, you know, it seems like it. And so, this whole thing that I just read, and I'm getting to understand this. All right. You know, Jesus was a father, and that scripture I just read just a moment ago, talking about the Lord Jesus, now he gave two talents and one talent. You know, he was a businessman, but he was a father. And he fathered those who, you know, he was fathering him. He fathered his business. He fathers his businesses. Jesus said when he was 12 years old, I'm about my father's business. So he had the father's mind, his father's on his mind all the time. He was always about the father. And this is kind of what I see happening. I see the fatherhood of God in you and even things with your own father, that kind of thing, kicking in inside of you. And, you know, fathers have to rebuke sometimes. You know, I mean, my dad was a good dad. And he was, when he chastised me, he chastised me pretty good. I mean, he put the fear of God in me, that's for sure. And I think I came out okay, you know. And so, you know, sometimes being a father means being tough, just like we just read in the scriptures. You know, he rewarded those who did good and those who didn't. He said, you know, I bless you. I gave you some stuff. Look what you did with it. And he chastised him. I guarantee you the next time that guy had anything given to him by that master, he didn't do that again. Because he learned his lesson. Sometimes we have to teach people as fathers, you know, the hard way. And so, you know, and then yet at the same time, he blessed them and multiplied them and said, Jesus has a business mentality about him where he recognizes, even as a father, on how to deal with people, he deals with his businesses, which we are his business. He deals with us as family, as our father. But the fatherhood business side, fatherhood side of him that's, you know, playtime. Yes, you know, the fatherhood side of God that likes to laugh and laugh with us and weep with us. Then you have the father side of us, God that, you know, does business. And he teaches, you know, when somebody teaches you business, a real father teaches you business and he's a good businessman, you know, he's going to teach you right. When you really mess up and you do what is not going to work, he rebukes you harshly if he thinks you need it. And people don't realize that that's being a good father. So anyway, all right. And then Yuki, God, we thank you for Yuki, God. I thank you for her faith, Father, you examining her faith and showing her that her faith is much bigger than what she thinks, that her faith is much larger, the capacity of her faith. Like you know, what happened in the same parable that I just read, it said that he gave them according to the measure of what their abilities. Right? So God gives us things according to the measure of faith. So anytime you think, Yuki, that you don't have the ability to do something that seems big, that seems awesome, just remember, God wouldn't be putting that in your lap if he didn't know. Just like he did he gave one guy five talent, one, two, one, one. He said he gave it to them, to each one, according to their ability. So the guy that had five, maybe he didn't know he had the ability for five. But he trusted the master. The master knew what he was talking about and trusted him with. So what did he do? He goes out. And he sure enough, he did it. He doubled it. He doubled it. And the same guy with same thing with the guy who had two, he doubled his. And the one that had one, who hit his fear, he had the ability to multiply and increase it. But he didn't, and so he was rebuked for that severely. But God's showing you that you have the faith to do whatever he's calling you to do, those things that seem, you know, way beyond you, that he wouldn't have given you that, put that in your lap, put that in your before you, if you didn't have the faith to do it. So he wants you to remind you about that. All right, what you guys doing over there?
Well, while you're praying, we have our friend, I think you prayed for her before, Chom. And she's
what is it again?
Staying, C-H-O-M.
Chom.
She's staying with us for the week, and so you can say hi to her, and you can pray for her if you have a second.
Okay, can we do it now?
Hello. Yeah, hello.
Hi, Chom.
This is Chom.
Hi, Chom.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
Hi, Chom. Oh, good, good. Let's pray for you. Let me pray for you. I'm going to mute you just for a second so you can hear that go. You can hear that go mute for a minute. Thank you, Chom, for God's going to call you a gatherer. You're going to gather in the harvest. You're going to gather in things. You're going to gather in people. And the people that you gather in are going to gather in things. They're going to gather and they're going to be able to put things together, you know, apply things, multiply things, add things to do business in a very chief kind of way, C-H-I-E-F, chief, in a chief manner. In other words, like a head person, like a person who is head of something. And God's going to use you to raise up heads of things. Like you take somebody who doesn't know much of anything and you see something in them and you start, being able to just talk to them and be around them and train them or whatever. I don't know if training is the right word or not, but showing them how to do things and being able to pick out people that like that, the parable I just gave where he gave, he picked out one particular guy and he said, I think you've got the ability to W5. So I'm going to give you 5. And I'm going to trust you to double that 5. So what did he do? He chose the right person. The right person took his 5 and multiplied it. Well, he chose another person because they had less ability, but they still had ability. He said, you have ability for 2 talents. He goes, okay. And the guy, sure enough, he could, the master could see that. And so, like God's giving you an ability to see what people can handle, what the talents are, how they can handle things, how they can do things, and be able to be entrusted with things so that we don't have to run everything all the time. We have other people who are put in charge of things who have the ability to do it instead of choosing people who can't, who flop, who become unsuccessful, but choosing people calling the right people to the right place, do the right thing at the right time, and make something successful and make it a blessed thing. And whether that's in business or I don't know what that's about exactly, but God's given it to you, Chom. So very interesting. All right, very interesting. All right, Chom, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. Can you love?
What can we pray for you about? What do you want to talk about?
Me? About my... my life in particular.
Yeah, about your... Say that one more time. I have a hard time hearing you.
It's about life in, a new year and my plans for this coming year.
Okay.
School
right.
And work, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to be a great year this year. I'm saying that this is going to be a year of treasures where we, if we treasure the Lord, if we put him first and treasure him and treasure, obeying what he says and loving him, that God's going to bring us the things that we treasure. Like if you need a husband, you need a family, you need a business, you need to have children, whatever that thing is, he's going to bring us those treasures because God wants us to have, houses and homes. He wants us to. It's not like a thing he wants some people to have and other people didn't care. He wants everybody to have, every woman to have a husband if they want one, to have children, have a business, have money, have houses and homes. He wants everybody to have that. That's why he created the earth. Mm-hmm. And so he wants you to have that. But the key to that is treasuring him first and putting mm-hmm. him first and doing what he says first. When you do that, then because God wants to give it to you and he owns it, it's all his, then he just blesses you with it. So I would really believe God to, you know, to learn how to treasure the Lord, and I'm sure you already do, and believe God to give you whatever you need because he wants to give it to you more than you want it. Do you believe that?
Yes, I believe it.
Yeah, I think 2022 is going to be a harvest time for you, to harvest things that you've been praying about, because prayers are things that we pray to God about. God, bring me, you know, a family, bring me, you know, what I need, bring me the money I need, bring me this, you know, the property, whatever I need, bring it to me, and bring me the friends that I need. Sometimes God brings us friends, and the right friends are the ones who connect us, and when they connect us, then we get connected to, you know, those treasures. And so I believe God's connecting you with friends that are going to connect you to treasures that are good for you, and not some people just, a true friend is somebody who cares more about you than they do about themselves. And I believe God's bringing you friends this year. That may be the biggest thing you're going to find 2022 will be for you is a year where God brings you friends who care about you more than they care about themselves, to make sure that you prosper, to make sure you get what you need taken care of. And people who do that, Trump, they get really blessed too. So the blessings just kind of flow like that.
Mhm. Okay.
All right. Anything particular you want to pray about tonight?
Hey, Randy, I got a question for you.
Uh-oh. Okay. Go ahead.
You have anything else?
No.
No more. Okay.
Thank you.
So, Randy, been really listening. I know the words have kind of been increasing about merchandising in the church, and things are shaking up, and more words are getting released on that. And I think about you and we actually went to a meeting, right? And I see in Denver area, there's a lot of these Holy Spirit meeting things. It's not a church. It's a, you know, people coming into town, some kind of personality.
Right.
And we go to one, and we had no idea. We thought anyone can go. We were trying to bring a friend they were ministering to, and they had two big bouncers at the door, and they said, oh, well, these tickets are $70, and you're not getting – did you get a ticket? And we said, no, we didn't get a ticket. We had no idea. And then, you know, they said, oh, well, we're going to do some worship right now, but when this preacher comes on, you have to leave because you didn't pay. And they're like, oh, are you sure? You know, we just want to check it out. And they're like, yeah, you have to sit at the back, and you're not allowed to come in. And I got really upset. And I don't know if I did the right thing, but then I tried to, you know, call them out a little bit, and we were arguing with them. And then we ended up sitting in the back, and then I just sat through the whole thing. You know, I didn't leave, and we got to hear the preacher and everything. And then they had some more Holy Spirit people, preachers, and it looks like people have been traveling all over, maybe in hopes of getting healed or someone to touch them. But they had them roped off with this red rope and people protecting them because all these people wanted to get touched and healed, and they weren't letting people get near them. And I really struggled with that. I thought about that event a lot. It's kind of like, well, you know, they do have to pay for flights and travel and food and things like that. And is it all right to charge tickets for these events? Or, you know, I just think of a church, it should be open every day. People could come in, they could get healed whenever. There's all kinds of events for people, free food, help,
yeah,
and charging tickets
right
for this. It was just really upsetting, and I'm kind of struggling with, is that part of merchandising or not?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's definitely, anytime you're charging people for, what Jesus gave his life for. He didn't charge, you know, so how can we charge? I don't know. I mean, if you're having conferences and, you know, people want to, I really don't believe in any of that, you know. I'm not sure where all the lines drawn or merchandising or not, but charging somebody $70 to come in to a meeting where people are at, I don't understand it, because to me, if you come into a meeting, just like if you have a book, if you're selling a book and you got revelation from Jesus, right? Any revelation from Jesus is going to heal you, going to bless you, going to make you, you know, grow. You're going to grow. You're going to learn something. And when you grow and learn something, you know, then if that book is given to you, if you truly learn something from Jesus, you're going to want to give that person more than $10, which you'd buy the book for. You want to give them, you know, $100 or $1,000. Man, thank you for this. This changed my life. But what happens is, you know, they're not allowing people to the fruit. Instead of waiting for the fruit to come, they take the fruit from you before it even has a chance. In other words, if that book is not really going to do anything, it doesn't really matter. They already got the money, so what do they care for? You know, but if that book or that meeting is, and people are going to get blessed, and they may want to do more than $70, they may want to do $700. But because you charge them at the door for $70 and they get healed, they're going to walk away going, well, you know, we gave. So what they do is they turn giving into forcing you to pay for something, and they call that their giving. And so it's robbed people of giving, and the preachers and people are taking from them, and then my whole thing is, if you really are getting something from God, you're going to want to bless God. You're going to want to go, man, I just got healed tonight. I was fixing to pay up $5,000 for something. I'm going to take $2,500 of that and give it to you now and get $2,500 later, because I was fixing to have to pay a hospital for this. Instead, I'm going to give it to you instead of $70 or whatever. And so that's my thinking. If it's really of God, then it's going to do something that people are going to want to give.
So exactly, that's what I was saying. If it's really of God, the money will come. That's the last of our concerns. We're trying to win souls over. And I said, I literally told the guy, like, well, what are we supposed to do? I mean, $70, like, people are going to go to a Metallica concert for that. Like, you got to be kidding me. Like, $70, I was just very upset.
Yeah.
I don't know if I was Christian or not, but like, yeah, we're going to like, go to the Broncos game. Like, what are you talking about? Like, he's like, turning people away. And then, you know, they guilted us and like, oh, you got to sit in the back and, you know, you're going to need to leave when the person starts speaking. You didn't pay for this. And it's there's got to be people waking up to a new format. I know they wanted to have ministry training, and they want people to pay for that, or conferences, or, you know, these celebrity prophet people are flying out. They got to pay for hotels and things like that. I understand, but there's got to be a way to have conferences and the provision still be there, right?
Exactly. That's the whole thing is, it's like we're talking about tonight. What, he says, lay not up treasures on earth, but lay them up in heaven. What does that mean in all practicality? It means that when you're doing something under the Lord, God's going to take care of you. You know, you don't have to. Some people are going to have $25. Some people are going to have $25,000. Some people are going to have millions of dollars. You know, so give and take in everybody like Jesus did. He didn't charge people to come to meetings. He didn't charge people for anything. And when people do that, what they do is that they shut off their own blessings and potential. Because what happens is, a lot of times they do meetings, but the meetings aren't of God. That's the problem. And they're just trying to put something together to make, you know, to make a show or whatever. But when you're doing something that's of God, you know, you're laying up a treasure, or you're doing something as unto the Lord, and the Lord's telling you to do it, then He's going to bless you for that. But they don't do that. I mean, I've had literally well-known prophets tell me, well-known, if I told you the name, you'd probably know who they are. I saw one of them today on Sid Roth that I know personally, and I've heard them say out of their own mouth, but Randy, you can't trust the people to pay you for those books. That's what they told me. And that's the basic thinking of these people,
is that they think that, you know, you've got to get the money up front because people, you can't trust people to bless you. Like, it's all about people. They're not doing it as unto the Lord, unto heaven. They're doing it as unto the people. So you can't trust the people. What's that mean you're trusting? That means you're trusting people, right? So I don't know. It's pretty simple and plain to me, bro, but the whole body of Christ has walked in this realm for quite a while, and they think it's just normal.
It's just standard operating procedure, right? Everyone knows how to get to all this thing. It's a playbook, right? And everyone's going on
yeah.
the same playbook.
Yes, and the reason that they've lost money and the reason they charge for those front is because, you know, if you do something for God, you think God's going to not take care of business? See, that's what they've lost. They've lost trust in God, and now we've got to get it from the people instead of give it to the people and let the people give back because they don't really have anything truly good to offer most of the time.
Well, yeah, I mean, what about the, you know, or the Great Commission? I mean, how are we going to get people coming into these events and experiencing the Holy Spirit? If, I mean, a single mom, $70, you know, bring her and her kids, like, come on now. They're charging for childcare too. Childcare was like $60-$70 or something too. They're like, come on.
Yep.
I'm off that now. I just wanted to run it by you because it seemed like it was wrong, but I wasn't sure because I thought, well, you know, people have to have conferences.
Right. Well, they have to go to the basic thing is who they doing it unto, people, which they've got to have the money from if they do that. But if they're doing it unto the Lord, then, you know, I've done meetings and in buildings and things. I've never, any meeting I ever did that was of the Lord, I think everyone that I did, God blessed them, so he always took care of stuff. Sometimes you got more taken care of. You had enough money to, go buy you, maybe a new couch or something. And sometimes you might walk away just being able to go home and buy a chair that you needed. But you always got blessed when it's really of God. So sometimes the blessings come in more than others, and you just have to take it. You know, sometimes you go into a city and you invest in the city. But when you invest in the city without charging people, then it's, you know, when that city starts bearing fruit, they remember that. They're going to go, you didn't try to make a business deal out of it. You really came to give. So I think that's where it's all going. I was reading the scripture today in Galatians where it said that Paul the Apostle says, unlike many, we're not here to make money off of this. I mean, I literally read that today. I was going like, oh, my gosh, why haven't I seen that before? And so anyway, it's
oh wow, that's
crazy.
That's a scripture.
Yeah, I started to preach on it tonight. I'm probably going to preach on it tomorrow night. I started to talk about it tonight, but I went in a different direction. And because what we're dealing, as since the Marcus Lamb thing happened, as you know, as everybody knows who listened to PGN long, we talked about him, you know, going down. I didn't mean dying, but you know, of Daystar Network going down. You know, just, you know, a few days before he died, which, you know, was shocking to everybody. But we were talking about God dealing with him, you know, because he's a merchandiser, not because he's a bad person, because he's a merchandiser. So God's going to start dealing with this stuff. It's going to get crazy.
It definitely will. That was such a public sign. And with the news on that, it's just, I'm still shocked. So, quick
yeah,
question.
I was shocked too.
Yeah. Go ahead.
On this topic, you know, a church, right? They want to have an event. It's free to people, but they want to have a special band. You know, let's say somebody, you know, a singer that people know, and then they want to bring out a Randy Chandler and some other prophets and people like that. Is it okay to pay the band and pay the prophets and pay people for their time to come out and airfare, et cetera? Is that expected? It's just you can set up the event. You're just not.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that my personal opinion is that if God blesses you with $1,000 to pay a prophet for coming in for a week and, or $500 or whatever, and that's you pay for his motel bill, you know, if God bless, if you're going to have a meeting, God's going to, he's going to take care of business. But is it wrong to say, you know, we're going to give you $1,000 to come? When people have done me that way, and they'll tell you, and God is my witness, I lie not. When they say, how much do you charge? I always tell them, Jeff, I don't charge anything. And so, if you want to bless me with $1,000, or I'm not going to limit God to anything. If He gives me $5 or gives me $5,000, I'm not going to limit God. So let's just trust God, and you know, let's let the Lord do what He wants to do. And so I think that's what we need to do. People have expenses, but man, if everything you're doing is of God, you don't have to try to get the money from the people to do it. God's going to call the people to give that money. Somehow or another, however they do it, it can be done any kind of way. But it's, you know, merchandising is, say, having a meeting and charging people for that. I think God's going to bless you. You talk to the prophet. Hey, talk to the evangelist. Talk to the band. Do you guys? How much you guys charge? Do you charge? They go, no, we don't charge anything. And if God said, if they say we usually try to get $1,000 if we can. If they say that. You know, and then we say, Lord, if you want them to come, you know, bring that money. And so there's different ways to do it, you know, where they say, well, it just takes that much for us to go anywhere. You know, everybody knows what it takes to travel and do business. I mean, it takes money. And, you know, so, but saying, I'm not going to come unless you give me $1,000, you know, to me, that's a whole different thing. But if you ask them, what does it cost you to travel with your band, you say, well, to go to a meeting we're at, okay, Colorado, you know, with there's seven of us, you know, we have all the stuff we have to get there and all the things we have to do. It usually takes us $1,000, you know, to do that. And then anything you want to give us above that would be awesome. But if they say we're not going to come without that, I tell them to stuff it.
Yeah, people are like, oh, you know, we want to get Randy. Talk to my agent. First of all, Randy only stays at the Ritz-Carlton, first class. He needs 100-day meal stipend. It's like dealing with an agent. It's like, okay, no thanks.
Yeah, I think if they're not trusting God, you don't want people that aren't trusting God anyway. If they say, if you ask them and they tell you, yeah, you know, it takes about $1,000. And if they say we're not going to come without the money first, then, you know, it's really the spirit of the person. You know, you have to look at the spirit of the person. If everything they do, they have to be paid for everything up front before they do anything. I'm going to say don't mess with that person. And that's what I say. But, yeah, so. Charging
well,
people for meetings.
I just wanted to, that gives me a lot of clarity, Randy. And I feel like we've been called to help people have events here or set something up here in Colorado, but I've been really cautious because I'm worried about the blueprint of how to do this if we feel called to do that. And that gives me a lot of clarity, how to kind of move by the spirit and set things up. Because, you know, your business mind kicks into gear. Okay, you got to get the security and you got to get the building permit, this and that. But that has nothing to do with, you know, it should be free for everyone and the people that want to be a part of it. It should happen organically and have nothing to do with finances and people trying to get paid off of this stuff.
Right. The big thing is it God? If it's God, God's going to bless it. I've heard of well-known evangelists who traveled to Africa, went to Africa the first time, and for healing service, not hardly anybody got healed. You know, they came back going, man, we got whooped up on there. But instead of giving up, they start praying, God, show us what to do. So God showed them what to do. They go back to Africa. And next time they went back to Africa, people got healed by the thousands. You know, then the money came in. You know, when people don't get blessed, dude, the money's not going to – when people get blessed, they want to give. And that's what we need to bring this back to is people getting blessed and want to give, want to help. You know, if they feel like you're trying to wheel and deal them, to me, some people are just going to go, well, you know, bless their heart. They did set up a meeting. Bless their heart. This and that. And that's not God. That's human beings helping human beings do human being things, all in the name of religion. So it's really all, is God inspiring it? If he is, believe me, if you walk away from a meeting and you're $5,000 in the hole, the next day, you know, somebody could call you up and say, you know, did you end up in the hole in that meeting? You go, well, honestly, yeah. They said, how much? $5,000. Well, I'm going to send you $6,000 and thank you for your work. You know, I mean, I've seen that stuff happen. So it doesn't mean that everything works out exactly perfect the way we think, but God always takes care of his business. He never doesn't pay his bills, ever.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it is. It is amazing. So we have to keep that in our mind. You know, is God calling us to do this? Is he telling us to do it? Is he inspiring us? You know, that's the main thrust of it. It doesn't mean all the money's going to come in the first night or the last night. You know, it could be a week, could be a month later. You know, you never know how it's going to be, but God is going to take care of it. So if you keep that in mind, it changes the way you do business with, you know, and you can expect sometimes, you know, what if we lose $5,000? Well, did we do that under the Lord? Did we lost $5,000? We give $5,000 to God. Then God's going to bless us for it. But if we get whiny, you know, by God, those people didn't give nothing. Those people. And we start looking to people, start complaining about people. Either God told us to do it or he didn't. And if he did, you know, we lose $5,000 in the meeting because the money didn't come in because people didn't give. Guess what? God says, because you did it unto me, now I'm going to have one of my servants call you up and give you, you know, twice that amount or whatever.
Well, that's a beautiful way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, I really think that's the way God has us do it. So, you know, Paul was pretty aggressive with money at times. We'll talk about that, later on. But it wasn't the way they do it today. It's just, you know, it's hard to believe somebody charged for a meeting, even a conference. You know, it's just really sad. Anyway, so yeah. All right. Cool.
Well, God bless. Happy New Year, Randy. We're going to look
all
forward
right,
to
too.
Many revelations this year on the show. Can't wait.
Yep. Thank you. And we're going to believe God for, you know, amazing things to happen. You know, after the Marcus Lamb thing happened, a lot of the people who knew what we were talking about were in shock. You know, because even a lot of our PGN people have struggled with, rightfully so, with merchandising. They think I've just got my mantle in a wad, you know, and it kind of makes sense to a certain degree, except the fact is that God's going to prove, Jeff, that my mantle hasn't been in a wad, that this really is something that God is irritated about and very grieved about, and he's going to begin to deal with it. And the Marcus Lamb thing was just the beginning. He went for the big gate holder, and then he's going to start moving down to the ones under him. And that's going to be sad because they can stop this thing because the hatchet is falling. They can stop it. All they got to do is stop merchandise, or at least asking God for a plan of how to turn this albatross around, you know, and get it right. Like TBN started doing. TBN started doing it. I'm not sure that what they're doing is right. It's not my business, but at least they quit merchandising as much as they used to. But I think God wants to raise up a network like what we're with PGN, and I think that's why our studio thing is right around the corner. I think that's why, you know, we went through the process we went through with Trump and Biden, all that whole thing with the election, how God pointed the finger at us saying there's something new in town. And then now the all those who kept up with us as we talked about specifically about Daystar and specifically about Marcus Lamb, very specifically, and Joni, but more specifically about Marcus, they're up about the last week or two before he died and saying that God was going to take Daystar out because of the merchandise, not because they're bad people, because they're merchandisers. And people like going, well, that ain't never going to happen because they're too big. That ain't never going to happen because, I mean, I'm not going to tell you who told me that stuff. I've had some of my own personal family members telling me, Why don't you quit talking about that? Because that, you know, those people, that ain't never going to happen. And then after that happened, Jeff, with Marcus, they were kind of like going, it changed their whole attitude. I mean, they were going like, well, we don't, I don't, you know, like, oh my God, you know, something's going on. Yeah, exactly.
Well, that got a lot of people, so people repented on that one.
Say it again?
People repented a little bit on that one. That was a very visible sign. And people
yeah,
are going
was.
To be looking for, like we talk about, the new blueprint that you keep talking about. You know, let's move
right.
by the Spirit here. People want a revival, you know. It's a new blueprint to do it, sounds like. Not this
yeah,
way.
Yeah, it sounds like God's. Mm-hmm. What he has to do is he has to unconfirm the old blueprint, right? That's what we're about to see happen. He's going to unconfirm it, the old one, and confirming the new one. But here's the thing about this. The reason I know a lot more is going to happen is because when you think about what happened with Egypt, with Israel coming, how many plagues did it take? It took 10 major plagues, right? 10. And so it's going to take, I don't know how many it's going to take. God didn't tell Moses how many plagues it was going to take for him to come out. He just told him, go. He didn't say it's going to take 10. He didn't know. And so I don't really know how many plagues like this, like Joseph Biden isn't a plague, but some people think it is. That was the first one, you know, other than COVID, that was a plague too. And then now the Marcus Lamb thing, which was definitely a plague, it's a plague style of the way, you know, it was dealt with. And so I don't know how many more it's going to take, but it's going to take a few. It's going to take a few more before people that rattled some cages, no doubt. But it is about to be shaken a whole lot more. Like God totally shook up Egypt. God is Jeff. I'm prophesying this again. I've talked about this, you know, before, as you know. We're about to see God shake up the church, the merchandising church, as it's going to totally, the people are going to be totally like going, we're going to get out of here before we all die. Seriously. Or all go down, or all, not all die, but all go down. It's a going down season for them. And we've been talking about this for a long time. And it is literally about to come. It's already coming to pass. Now it's literally starting to happen. Right before 20, think about this, before the year of treasures at 2022. That's mind-boggling because that's how the treasures get transferred into the hands of the non-merchandisers or those who have the pattern that God has given. And so it's going to be exciting, to say the least. It's still going to be some more heartbreaking stuff. I'm just trying to warn people, don't think it's over. Don't think that did it, but that was a big one, and God started out with a big one.
And so the year of treasures, I saw that text and was really thinking about that. It sounds like we'll understand what that means more, but that makes a lot of sense. It's a wealth transfer.
Yeah. It is, yeah. We're going to talk more about that as we go along because it's more than just – it is definitely – it's very specific, the wealth transfer as it was in Egypt. God was very specific. He didn't say, oh, let's see, I think the money's going to come in somehow or another. We don't know how. No, he said after the last plague, and we're going to see a very similar thing happen with all this stuff that we're talking about, Marcus Lamb, number one, Biden, number one, the COVID, number two, the Biden situation, Biden and Trump, number three, I don't know if I'm getting the numbers correctly or not, but Marcus Lamb, that was a major world-shaking event. What number four is going to be? I have a good clue, but I can't say yet until I know for sure. But it's in the workings right now. And so as this thing begins to be shaken, then there's going to be a wealth transfer because the wealth transfer, if you understand, the wealth transfer is very specific. God set it up to where he did 9 plagues, brought down Egypt pretty heavy. He's going to bring down the body of Christ, the merchandising body of Christ, down pretty heavy. It's going to be very devastating. Many of them are going to be, they're going to be cries all throughout the body of Christ, the leadership of the body of Christ, like it was in Egypt when the firstborn died. whatever the last plague is going to be that's going to make the transition, I don't know. But in that transition, it's going to be a wealth transfer that's going to be literally physical money. Like God told Moses, he said, tell the people after the Passover lamb and the angel passes over, he said, tell them to go. Here's the specificness of it. Go to your neighbors, your Egyptian neighbors, and ask them for their gold or silver and the cloth. Why? Because the death was fresh. It just happened a couple of hours ago, and they're going to their neighbors when it's fresh, going, give us your money, give us your gold, give us your silver. It sounds cruel. We talked about Jesus, the part of Jesus that sounds cruel tonight a little bit with the five talents and all that. It sounds cruel. God sent it because he knew that they would not give that money unless they knew that they could all die. That's why God set it up. God set it up like that. He set it up specifically like that so that when they knock on the door, they're saying, yeah, come and get it and get out of town before we all die. That's exactly what went on. And then they walked out with it, and sure enough, God knew that they would change their mind because they changed their mind. See what happened? So they came after him again. We can't let these people go with our money. See, and God knew that if he didn't get that wealth transfer going on right when the death was fresh, that they wouldn't have given him that money. Are you kidding me? They were recovered 2 or 3, 4 days later. Okay, well, we all didn't die, so I guess they came knocking on the door 2 or 3 days later, you know, after they had time to grieve a little bit. Oh, no, we're not going to give you the money now because we're all still alive, you know, which is what they did all during the time. But God is very strategic. And we're going to find the strategies of God, not of Randy, not of anybody else, but of God Almighty, going into the leadership of the body of Christ. And the wealth that they have is going to be transferred over into the new body of Christ, the one that's going to come out of the one that has been. So it's going to be scary. I'm not going to play games with you. It's going to be scary. Get ready. It's just begun. The news is going to be worldwide. It's going to be documented. We're going to talk about it just like we talked about Joseph Biden and all that beforehand. We talked about Marcus Land beforehand, just a couple of days before it happened. And we've talked about other things. And as we talk about them, it's going to happen. We talk about it, it's going to happen. We talk about it, it's going to happen. Why? Because God has to make sure that people know that all this stuff is happening, Jeff, because God is telling the prophet to talk about it. And when he talks about it, it happens the next day. He talks about it, it happens 2 days later, 3 days later, 4 days later. Because that's what happened in Egypt. And God made sure that everybody understood that when he sent Moses to Pharaoh and Pharaoh refused, Moses said, by this time tomorrow, this plague will hit. And it did. And he stopped it. He said, okay, I'll stop it. Okay, stop plague. And the plague stopped the very moment Moses said, stop it. Why? Why was that going on? Because God was trying to show that this was not just happenstance. Oh, that just happened to happen. Randy was talking. Yeah, Marcus Lamb died. Yeah, he was the head merchandiser of Daystar Network. And Randy's been talking about that for a long time. But he didn't talk about it specifically. So it could have just been an incident. But this was not just an incident, Jeff. We were very specifically talking about him dying. Never dreamed that was going to happen, but that God was going to take him out. And to my surprise, that happened. We're going to see that happen time after time. So when your name comes up and we start talking about your name, you might want to start getting right with God pretty quick because the plague might be coming near your door. And I don't care. You can put the blood of whatever you want over it, but if you don't have that covenant relationship with Jesus, and you're selling and merchandising, that means that you don't have the blood of the covenant. That means if you're merchandising, that means you don't have the blood over your doorpost. You can put some blood over there if you want to, but it's not the blood of the covenant because you're doing your own thing and getting your money the way you want to get it instead of doing it with trusting God. So I'm just warning everybody right now, get ready. It's going to be a difficult time not for the sheep, but for the merchandisers. It's going to be very rough on them, especially the bigger they are, the harder they're going to fall, unless they repent.
Randy, this is kind of my interpretation of things. You correct me where you see fit, but people for the longest time recently have been praying for the revival, right? And there is movement to pray for revival in America. And
right.
part of what people prayed in is a war on from God on the religious spirit and the merchandising. And that's part of this new revival that's coming. And these people didn't realize what they're praying in because it was kind of like a crumbling of what they thought it was their institutions and ministry. And that came in with the revival or is coming in.
That's really good. Yeah. The thing that people have been praying for, like you said, they didn't know what they were praying for. You know, God get us right. No matter what it costs us. Well, it's going to cost you a lot. And here's what I keep telling people too, is that we got to realize, because I started declaring, decreeing not long ago, not because I decided to declare and decree something, because the Lord said, I want you to declare this, that judgment's coming to the house of God. And be very specific about what you're saying, is that it's coming to the merchandising leaders. That's where the judgment is coming. Judgment starts at the house of God first. Where? At the merchandising leaders specifically. What's been going on? Exactly that. Marcus Lamb was as precious as he was in so many ways, the thing that messed him up was that he didn't stop merchandising, didn't even act like he was trying to stop merchandising. At least TBN started acting like they were. And so far, I'm not talking about them yet. And when I start talking about them, you know, it's going to be the Lord that's talking about them. It's not just me coming up with something, because I have some people there that I've prayed over, that I've anointed to be leaders, and Mike Huckabee's one of them. And God had me do that, you know, back in 2007. That's a documented fact. And so I'm not coming against TBN because of that, because they seem to be trying to change their process. But Daystar, for what I could tell, they didn't try to change anything. So what did God do? That's the reason we talked about them 2 or 3 days before he died. Was because God was getting ready to put the hammer down, and I did not realize it. And believe me, those people start trying to. And one of these days, Jeff, one of these days, I'm going to tell what really happened, what they did, very personal. In the last, I'm going to get it, nail it too close, but in the last year, some things that happened that they did that were very, very ungodly. And Marcus Lamb was a very, very, very competitive person. Very extreme, as everybody will tell you. Everybody knew that, but he was extremely competitive. And if he came after you about something, believe me, he came with you. He came ruthlessly, thinking he's doing God a favor. Well, he did that with me. And I'm going to talk about the details one of these days when God gives me the opportunity. And what he did, he did him and Joni both. They didn't realize they opened the door. I would have never prayed that against for him, never, because I'm a forgiving person. But I know how God deals with things, and when he gets ready to deal with something, he's giving you plenty of time. It's ruthless, and so the way they did some things was, in my opinion, was ruthless and scheming and nasty. And I'm sure in his eyes, he thought he was doing God a favor because he was, you know, anyway. I can't say too much right now, but when
okay.
I tell the whole story, it's going to shock people.
The whole Randy Chandler saga here, the stuff we don't know, that makes sense.
No, nobody knows. No one knows except the people who are involved in it. And it was only the grace of God that I saw it when I did, and it was exposed instantly. It's an amazing story. When I get to tell it, when God gives me the approval to do this, believe me, it's going to curl your toenails. I guarantee you, or I think it would. But anyway, yeah. So, but he did it all in the name of, you know, for Jesus, and you know how people can think. The Bible says they'll think they're doing you a favor and killing you. Now, he wasn't trying to kill me, but not physically, but he was trying to kill some things. And so he kind of reaped that in a way that I would have never recommended it, but, going to be woo-ha, one of those kind of things. Yeah. And people understand. And then you'll understand a little bit more. Like I said, I would have never dreamed that happened, but or even thought about that. That was not my intent or prayer at all, not even close. When y'all heard me talking about Joni and Marcus, I mean, as rough as I was talking about them calling Jezebel and Ahab, saying they're not really Jezebel and Ahab, but what's going to happen to them is going to be like what happened to Jezebel and Ahab. And the false prophets and the whole thing. When I talked about that, the last year, over and over again, people just said, what are you talking about that for? Well, one of these days you're going to find out, and you will find out, and it'll curl your toenails, to about guarantee it.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. You know, you guys can understand how you do things sometimes. You think you're doing the right thing, and you turn around and go, oh, my God, I can't believe I did that. I mean, well, I think we've all done it to a certain degree. You know, you think that you need to deal with this person and then kind of find out that what you were dealing with him about was only rumored or was lies. You know, and then you realize, you know, you thought you were doing God a favor, and you realize that what you thought they did, whatever it was, wasn't what they did. You know, and you realize, you go, oh, my God, look what I did. I can't believe I did that. You know, and yet you were doing it out of the intention of taking care of business, right, with a good intention. But the problem is, and it was very ill done and very incorrect. And so that's what they see. They believed a lie, and they moved on that lie. And when they did, that's what opened them up to that. I would have never – Now that I look back at it, I'm going, well, I can see why that was allowed to happen, but I would have never wished it on anybody, ever. I'd rather see people – it's more beautiful for people to get something right and give you a phone call and say, man, you know, Brother Chandler, you know, thank you for, you know, blah, 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 and let's get it right with each other, let's get together and to agree to disagree or something, instead of trying to strategize and competitively, you know, move and do things. God don't like that, especially when you're dealing with the servant of God, you know. And there's a lot of servants of God out there.
That's how Satan's kingdom works, plotting and scheming against people. It's not a godly thing.
Right, exactly. And what he does, though, here's the sad part about it for them, is that, especially for him, is because the Bible says that they will kill you thinking they're doing God a favor, and they really do think they're doing God a favor. You see, it's not the deception is they have been talked into and lied or whatever the thing is, and they believe that lie, and they moved on that, and the Bible says they will kill you thinking they're doing God a favor. That is literally the truth. They really think that they're doing God a favor. So it's not like they're, man, we're going to take you down because, you know, we're bad, we're going to take you down because we're – You know, they really do believe that God is telling them to do it, and therefore, you know, they end up like Judas, in a sense. You know, I don't think Marcus went to hell. Of course he didn't, but you end up in a situation where you wake up one day and you try to give the money back, and it's too late. They're going, we don't want your money, you slime bag. We got what we want. We got Jesus. You know, take your money and stuff it. We don't want your money. That money's ungodly. Because he tried to get the money back, right? Once his eyes were open, he realized he had messed up. So that came true with Judas too. He did what he thought was right, and yet he was betraying the very Son of God. So it can happen to anybody. That's why I don't judge too much. You know, people. I go, well, you know, God, it could happen to me. I could do the same thing.
Yeah, well, getting that in that big of a stage, and like you said, the prophetic realm, and having that many followers and things, just a different level of ability for God and His what He wants done, right?
Right. The best thing to do is be doing what God wants you to do, even if everybody's against you. I'm not saying everybody's against me. I'm just saying as an example. Well, even if everybody is against you, if you're doing God's will. Just like we talk about the money thing. He's going to take care of you. He's gonna provide for you. The whole world can be against you, and God will just, you'll just be walking along one day, and I ain't got nothing to eat. Nobody, everybody hates me. Everybody's against me. You look down there, and you'll see, you know, a treasure chest of gold sitting in front of you. You know what I mean? I mean, God will take care of you. It doesn't matter who's on your side or how many people you have on your side. The whole world can be against you. And if you're doing what God says, friend, he's going to take care of you. And as long as you stay in forgiveness, like when all this stuff went on with Marcus and other things, you know, I just go, man, I actually, Jeff, this sounds kind of weird and crazy, but I kind of enjoyed the whole thing. Once I saw it, once I'm going like, oh, my God, man, that was crazy. I just kind of like thought, oh, my God, I moved up a notch or two. Hallelujah. Not what happened to Marcus afterwards, but what this little strategies and things that they did, you know, it's just what. So anyway, yeah. So that's I can quit talking about that because I'm getting crazy. I can't start going places, start talking about things I shouldn't be talking about yet. But
well, I didn't mean to take you there, but you definitely gave me some
clarity.
Yeah,
you did. You did.
No, I'll ask you questions about charging for conferences where we started.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I know you didn't do it on purpose. I'm kidding with you, of course. You know I'm kidding with you. But yeah, because I do like
say
to talk about it.
I draw it out of them, though. Somebody told me today, a guy I do business with, and we don't really connect on a personal level. But I ended up talking. He told me all about his health problems, his wife, his diabetes. You know, just draw it out of
there
people.
It is, right there.
And he was able to minister.
That's right.
And he
That's
said,
right.
why
That's
do you
awesome.
Do that? He said, I don't know what's with you, but you always draw this out of people. That's what he told me.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. Well, it has been good drawing it out of me tonight. You did a good job. Although I know you're totally innocent on your end. No, I'm just playing with you. But, yeah, it's fun. I love talking about stuff, so.
Well, the year of treasures, it's a great word. And I'm sure the year of scandals and exposure of a lot of things and all levels of what God wants to set up is his kingdom going forward.
Yeah, the treasures actually come because of the scandals and set up. That's really how they get set up. Once you realize that, you welcome them. That's why I say, you know, when I realized that some of the things had gone on, I knew what was going on. I knew that that's how how did we get the greatest treasure ever? Jesus, getting him on the cross. Who did that? Drew them in, man. You talk about drawing them in, sucking them in. He sucked them right in. He said, "Man, you got to get rid of him because he's gonna ruin everything for you. You better get rid of him quick." And as sad as it is, that's the strategy God used, and God did that. That wasn't the devil. God did all that. He set up Judas. He already had Judas set up from within. He had the whole thing done, man. He had the whole thing set up to get a treasure to us. And the way God gets his treasures, the situation that's going on with Daystar and other situations I've had going on, it's all setups, man. He gives them a chance. He gives them plenty of warning, plenty of time to get it right. And when they don't, then when it's over, when he says, "You hid yours, I'm going to take what you have and give it to another," that's what he does. And they had every chance, believe me, every chance to deal with things, and they did not. And so that's what makes them accountable. And when Jesus warns you of something, then and only then, when you hear it, do you become guilty. Only when you hear it. Jesus said, you know, once they hear it, they're accountable for it. They become guilty of that sin. And so that's what happened. They heard it. They became guilty. They didn't do anything about it. Therefore, God dealt with them. And so it was all a setup. The Lord is setting all of it up. You know, I never dreamed to be quite like this, but he's taking away the one and giving to those who have done what he said instead of done what people thought. So that's what's happening to Daystar Network, and it's really sad. The water, the blood's in the water, and right now, I think that's the word I gave last time I talked about this a couple weeks ago. that the blood's in the water, and when the blood's in the water, the sharks come, and that's kind of the atmosphere God has created. When the blood got in the water with Jesus, when they started whipping him and the blood started coming out, those guys went crazy. And what they do is they lose their minds, and they do everything God needs them to do themselves up. They just lose their minds. It's not really funny, and I hate to laugh about it, but it's funny because you know God's in control of every bit of it. In that sense, it's hilarious. That's why the Bible says God looked down on what was happening to Jesus, and he smiled. It gave him pleasure. His son's suffering wasn't pleasure, but what was getting taken care of, and the strategy God set up to get Jesus on the cross so we could partake of his precious treasure, was a strategy God Almighty set up, and the devil just fell for it. Like, he's a stupid ignoramus. That's what he is. And he uses the wisdom he has. God's wisdom supersedes it all the way around. He always sets himself up every time. And God knows just how to get the water, the blood in the water, and they start losing their minds, you know, like a shark does. They just start biting everything, and they lose control, and then they defeat themselves. So that's the next phase. Anyway, okay, we're going to move on. All right. Enjoyed it, you guys. Thanks for letting me minister to your friends.
Well, thank you. She really appreciated it. We'll talk to you very soon.
Okay. All right. Talk to you guys later. Bye-bye. Thank you. 610-969, when I talk to your friend, I think this is Lisa from Pennsylvania. Okay, you're breaking up really, really bad. Hello? Hello? Okay, let's try that again.
Oh, my goodness, here we go. We're not doing this year. We're not having that happen all year. Okay, I was just giving you 2022 blessings, prosperity blessings for you guys. But the conversation that you and Jeff were having, oh, I was all up in it. I was all up in that conversation. I texted you. I didn't know if you got it.
No.
I don't know if you ever... Yeah, I texted you about it. Because the whole merchandising thing, I was like, I feel him on that. And I have some questions myself, and I was just wondering if y'all ever heard of Mariah Woodworth Eder. They spell her name Maria. And you ever heard of Reese Howells?
Yes.
He was it. And George Mueller?
Yeah.
You ever heard of those guys? Now, Randy, I learned from them years ago that how God, and I got convicted, and then with your message, okay, people, I trust those guys, you know, that I just mentioned. Like, they're not, they're speaking the truth, I believe, as well as you. They, especially Mariah, she said she would dare not, okay, she would dare not. And you know that woman went through. She went through hell on earth, you know, and she was a woman preacher back in the, the early 1900s, late 1800s or whatever. She was still on the horse and wagon, and she had to, like, take the call of the Lord. The Lord gave her a call, but she didn't feel like she was, if, you know, back then especially, it was very hard, and she lost everything with her kid passing and her first husband and everything. So, like, she went through hell, right? She said that she would dare not even use the Lord's money, which I thought, wow. I was like, wow, she had a conviction. She would dare not even use the Lord's money for hotel accommodations. She would only let, you know, people host, or they would stay, they would camp. They would, you know, get groves and, you know, camp out in the meadows and stuff and have open air meetings. So I was just like, wow, you know, like she like really heard from the Holy Spirit, and she wrote, you know, she journaled and had diaries, and she wrote books and stuff. But it wasn't like, God bless, it wasn't from, you know, like how it is these days. Her books and stuff weren't the same. She had a different, she had a different conviction. And then, you know, Reese Howells, he had to believe for finances and miraculously, and so did George Mueller. Remember, like, they wouldn't even dare tell anybody. And even Reinhard Bonnke, when he started off with his, when he started off with his ministry, you know,
he's awesome.
He had a he had miraculous things happen, you know, financially, that helped him. He went somewhere when he graduated from his Bible school. He was, you know, he was from Germany, I think. I think he was from Germany or somewhere. He went to Bible school in the UK. And so he went, I forget the man's name, some very famous evangelist that he was like, you know, he stumbled upon the person's house and he knocked on the door, and the wife was really upset and, you know, was just like, you know, no, he can't have any visitors. But the man, whoever it was, I wish I could remember the name, said, no, come in. He blessed Reinhard, and, you know, and he laid hands on him, and then he died a few hours later. And he had, like, I don't know, a couple coins, and I don't really know the details, but he only had, like, a couple coins, and the Lord provided for him. You know, he put a fleece or whatever before the Lord, like, if I'm supposed to do this or whatever, and God always provided. So I'm very curious and perplexed at the same time, you know, my word being in that perplexation that I made up. Like, nowadays they changed it, Prophet Randy. I don't, like, you're not supposed to make money off of this. Like, it's a business because you're partnering with mammon, and it becomes a Babylonian system. It gets corrupted. And I'm not against wealth and prosperity. Like, I don't think that it virtues poverty at all. I just believe what happened is it got corrupted where it becomes like this, you know, they're making money, like, becoming. It's
getting
the way
they're
doing
thing,
it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it's not that they're making money. That's not the word I want to say. It's the, how it becomes, it becomes like where the people of God are being used in a business. And I don't know. And I don't agree at all. And probably has to do with what you've been preaching, and but also because the Lord showed me that it's a Babylonian system. So my question is, now, what do you believe, like, if you notice, like, all these ministries now, they call it their merch, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, they're saying, you know, they all sell their merch. They call it the merch. So what do you think about that? Like, I know you're not for the books and, you know, selling revelation of the Lord, especially, you know, because God gives it through the download of the Holy Spirit. But what about, like, you know, they're selling merch now, you know what I mean? Like, different, you know, whatever.
T-shirts, that kind of thing.
T-shirts, and yeah. And, like, candles and, you know, oils. And I didn't think there was a problem with that, because maybe because everybody does it, and maybe I was just, like, maybe desensitized or whatever, Prophet Randy. But now I'm, like, because it's, like, merch, and then that whole merchandising. And I remember you warned us guys, a few times, and I know when you get into that warning voice of yours, you start going off. You said you warned us, like, not to have part of that. Like, I don't know, and I was just, like, getting convicted, because I don't know. Do you remember warning us a couple times?
Oh yeah,
in the recent past, not to partner. You know, so I was like, man. I was like, uh-oh, they're not getting no t-shirts, you know what I mean? Because I went to, I'm not going to mention Well, I'll just mention it. Well, maybe I shouldn't. Well, I will. So I went to a few events in Philly this past summer and fall, and it was big time. Like, they have a tent, and I got a bunch of stuff. So I'm just confessing if I was wrong. You know, like, it was the Let Us Worship event. So, and there's a few other things that I went to. And I got, like, T-shirts and CDs and stuff like that. And I was just, like, wondering if that is, like, what you were talking about. Because it is merchandising, I guess, because it's, like, in the name of the Lord. But then at the same time, you don't want to get – it's like you want to support, you know, the believers. And, like, I'd rather wear, you know, Christian T-shirts and hats and stuff like that. So, I don't know. I'm just torn. So, that was my question. Like, what do you think about that?
Okay. Well, the main thing – the number one thing that we deal with here is, at PGN is, as far as the merchandising situation, is very specifically to – and merchandising, selling. I'm changing it to calling it selling the body of Jesus. When they sell the body of Jesus, or the word of the Lord, or the word of God, that's the main point of merchandising. It's selling T-shirts and oils and all that kind of thing. And if you're sitting there telling somebody this oil has been prayed over by some great evangelist, and if you need healing, you can buy it for $40. You know, Marcus Lamb did that, and I've talked about that very specifically. He even had the guy on the show from Louisiana, and he had a great revival. And so he'd get on there and sell the oil. He said, "We're not selling trailers, sell us oil," but they didn't give it because you couldn't get it without money. So that just tells you that they're merchandising. So, but the main thing that I talk about, first and foremost, is if you get revelation from Jesus by the Holy Spirit, to me, that's the body of Jesus. And when you're selling the body of Jesus, the body of Jesus, when somebody eats something from revelation from the Holy Spirit that comes from, you know, it's either revelation from God or it's not. If it's not, they need to say so. They need to say, okay, I got some revelation from Jesus over here, but this other stuff about Jesus, this isn't revelation from the Holy Spirit, this is my own. If they want to say that this is their own, that they got it outside the Holy Spirit, then maybe they can sell that. I don't know. But to say this is revelation from Jesus and we're selling it to you, that's what we say specifically is merchandising the body of Jesus. Now, if they're selling T-shirts and all that kind of thing, that's a whole different thing. The thing is that are they trusting God, or are they laying up treasures from men? You know, we can't trust the people to give, so we got to sell. You know, and so, you know, it's really the heart of the matter is the heart of the people. And, you know, so I don't have a – I probably one of these days maybe God will have us write a, you know, the Ten Commandments of, you know, merchandising or something. I don't know. But it kind of give people an understanding of what we're talking about. But very most specifically right now, what God is dealing with is not selling T-shirts, but very specifically dealing with selling Jesus' body. In other words, with the revelation of the Holy Spirit about Christ himself. That is what God is dealing with heavily. Selling T-shirts and all that, that's a secondary thing to me. So I could talk about that another time. But, yeah, but I'm not the main thing God is having me do is I have no revelation about selling T-shirts and all that. I think any of it is it's the heart of the person. Beyond selling, if you're selling Jesus' body and you're a fivefold ministry person and you're selling the body of Jesus or revelation from heaven about Christ, that is definitely an abomination. I don't care how you read it, how you say it, that's an abomination. God's going to judge those people severely because once they hear the truth and they keep doing it, like with Marcus knew the truth about, he knew what God was saying through me. He knew that. And therefore, he was held accountable, and Joni will be too, and so will the whole, all those who sell, you know, once the head gate of the merchandising realm was taken out, which Marcus was, Joni and all her children, all that, and anybody who holds on to that will be held accountable for it. Nobody's going to get by with this any longer. They're not going to get by with it any longer. And so it's sad, but That's what's going to happen. So selling T-shirts right now, he's not dealing with, to me, with selling T-shirts. It's about selling Jesus. So and the rest of the answer
the,
is
the teachings.
The rest of the answer is revelation with Jesus. Yeah, what are you going to call that? Revelation with Jesus is what? Prophesying, teaching,
revelation
with Jesus. You know, I mean, I don't have much more plain to say it. Revelation from Jesus, you know, about Jesus from the Holy Spirit. Whether you're writing it down, it's a CD, it's a, you know, if it's revelation, if it's talking about Christ or the things of Christ, and it's revelation from the Holy Spirit that you're getting, you know, then it's a, that's teaching, it's whatever you want to call it, prophesying, whatever it is. If it's revelation from Jesus, of Jesus from the Holy Spirit, that's an abomination, period.
Oh my goodness, that covers like so many people, Prophet Randy, and yeah, that's scary. I believe you because I told you what happened a few years ago, but it's like, wow, it's like everybody's involved now. You know, one of the things that I've noticed too is, especially over the holiday seasons, I was looking at ordering stuff from ChristianBook.com. And all those Bibles that are, like, are made by man now, they're so expensive. Like, you know, like the so-and-so Bible, this and that Bible, you know, like the person.
Yeah.
I don't even care to mention names right now, but there's so many different people that are living right now that wrote Bibles, you know, specific Bibles. I remember TBN used to advocate them and they're just, and I was thinking, is that right? And I guess you're buying the study notes or whatever. I don't know. But I was just like, since this message has come forth, I was just like, oh, my goodness, God, like, you know, all these different teachers have their different Bibles out now. You know, some of them are conservatives and, you know, they're kind of against the charismatic.
A lot of people are asking questions about this. What's of God? What's not? I've made the only thing I can say that's thus saith the Lord is the revelation from. If you get revelation from the Holy Spirit, you're writing in a book and selling it, or putting it on CD or audio teaching or whatever it is. Any kind of you're prophesying it, whatever it's coming from. If it's coming from the Holy Spirit and it's about the Word of the Lord in any fashion or form, so. What's going to happen is God's going to make it very clear. He's going to answer those questions. Number one question is, if they're selling something that comes, that's been given by the Holy Spirit, then they're going to be held accountable for that. Beyond that, I don't know how God's going to deal with it. But that right there is going to shake people up to the point where people are going to start saying, man, I'm not selling nothing. That's from Jesus. You know, and I think that's what's going to happen. I think that if you start at the top, and you start working with the main thing, all these other little things, they're just going to fall. You don't have to worry about it. Do I sell the T-shirts? Not T-shirts. Oil? No oil. You know, if you're saying that oil's from the Holy Spirit and it heals people, if you get it and you sell it for $40, that's an abomination right there. Because you're saying an oil is blessed by God, and then you sell it before you can get it instead of giving people the opportunity to just give. In other words, they get the oil, they pray. They get blessed, and they say, man, I'm going to give. Instead of giving $20 for this, I'm going to give $1,000. This is amazing. You know what I'm saying? That's the way I see it working. But as I've had if I named the name of this preacher that told me this, and which I know personally, we can't really trust people to take care of business, Randy, because they would be dishonest. I'm going like, you know, and I listened to that, and I kind of went, yeah, that may be right, but this person ought to know because they've, you know, got a lot of stuff going on. And so the more I meditated on that, the more God began to show me. He showed me that was not trusting God. That's a people thing, not a God. Doing things unto God. They're doing things unto people. You know what I'm saying? They're trusting people. What are you supposed to be trusting, people or God? We do things as unto the Lord, unto heaven.
I agree. Because, like, when you think about it, the whole system that they're learning and these schools or whatever, you know, these ministry schools, like they're learning a system. They're learning how to market and stuff. Is it?
Yeah, and the sad part about this is conferences where they're selling, and you know, I saw, you know, I love Sid Ross. Sid Ross is a cool guy, but he's a merchandising freak. And I've seen him sell his stuff going, if you get this worship leader's, you know, Hebrew worship, you will have the same anointing that he said. If you buy this particular thing, you're going to have the same anointing. In other words, they're buying the anointing. And people can say whatever they want to about that, but that's exactly what he was doing. And it worked well. But you know what? The problem is those people didn't get the same anointing. The problem is that doesn't work. The problem is that's an abomination to God, and that brother is going to pay for it. And what they're doing is they're telling people, they're raising up our young people. Here's the really sad part about it. I was thinking about this today. They're raising up our young people, telling our young people, oh, yeah, this is how we do business with God. Don't worry about these people that say don't do it. It's okay, even though it's not in the Bible. We do it because this is how we raise money for God. And they don't even give them any biblical references for any of it. And that's our young people.
Yeah, and, you know, that's so interesting because my son told me that years ago, Devontae, because I used to really be into Sid Ross a lot. I was into all that, you know, some years ago, and I couldn't see it. So I thought that, you know, he was just, you know, criticizing. But he saw that years ago. So I agree. I haven't really watched. I do every once in a while, but not like how I used to, you know. I used to watch the network. He has a network. So
the whole thing they're doing, the whole thing they do is sell. It's all about selling. If you don't have something to sell, you don't get on there. I've talked to people. I could tell you their names. You'd know who they were. About a year ago, I said, "Hey, what's going on?" Because they're from the same area I'm from, the Dallas area. I said, "What's going on?" They said, I'm on my way to be with Sid. Sid and I are getting together, and he's helping me, get my book written and helping me. It's all about selling books and CDs. It's what it's all about. All about. And,
because got the Oprah effect for the body of Christ, from what I heard, you heard of the Oprah effect, right? That was like so now it's like they call it the Sid, the Sid Roth thing. Like if you get on Sid Roth, it's like that, like you'll be able to really bump up. And so I see it now, Prophet Randy, like it's so sad because it became like a badge of success, I guess, in the body of Christ, which is so sad. And it's partnering with the Babylonian system because it's merchandising. And I see what God is talking about. And he talks about it. You know, the Lord talks about it all throughout the Bible and Isaiah and even in the book of Revelation. So, it's scary. It's very scary because if it wasn't for your message and now, my own convictions, I might have been part of that. I remember when I was trying to write books and stuff. So,
well, I was part of it, yeah. I was part of it just like everybody else.
It's sad.
It was normal.
It's scary, too.
Yeah. It's the way we do things, the way we did things. When I started PGN, the Lord said, do not do that and I'll bless you. But he told me, he said, "Don't if you'll not sell anything, and trust me, because the person I can tell you about their name, that's what they told me. They said you can't really trust the people to do it. That's why you have to get the money up front." And I go, "That's just business. That's the way business people talk, And yeah, it's good business if you're in the business world like the Babylonian, like you think Babylonian thing. But if you're doing things for God, I mean, that's like going, I don't know. It just really." I so respected that person, I wasn't critical of them at all because I was in the same system as they were in. I believed in all of it, too. When the Lord told me, when we started PGN, he said, when we started doing our shows, our blog talk, he said, if you'll give it all away, I'll bless you. Because I was already setting it up. I was already setting it up to do just like everybody else, having my merchandising area where you come in, buy merchandise. We sell this book, this music, this thing. And the Lord said, if you'll not do that, Randy, and respect me and trust me and trust that I'm going to do things, instead of doing like that person told you to trust the people, whether you trust the people or not. That's why you got to get the money. You just can't trust the people. Like she was saying, this is good. I've been around, Randy, and this is good business. This is how you do it. And so I'm going like, you know, and I'm not blaming them. They were raised like that. That's how they think. But how they think, Lisa, is wrong. Now I call it an abomination. I used to just call it wrong. Now it's an abomination because the Lord showed me. So, and then we're seeing this with Marcus Lamb and all that. As everybody knows, we step by step talked about him specifically, compared him to Jimmy Swaggart as far as, you know, God still loves Jimmy. God loves Jimmy. God's using Jimmy Swaggart, but he'll never have the favor he had before. Jim Baker, same thing. I said, Jim, God loves Jim. I mean, Jim, you know, but, you know, when he lost his favor. And I said, Marcus Lamb has lost his favor. He'll never be what he wants to be. It's sad. It's really sad. And so I think God's going to take him out. And
yeah. Jim Baker also does a lot of merchandising, you know, so, like,
oh,
I don't
big
know.
Time. Big time.
This is so
big
crazy.
Big time merchandising. They all do. They're all merchandisers. Every one of them. Yeah.
You know what's so amazing that you were able to hear the Lord? Do you ever question God, like, God, why did you choose me to, like, tell me not to do it? Maybe he did tell all the other ones. And then not only did he tell you, but then you heard him and you obeyed. So it was like three steps, you know. You had to hear him first and obey. Like, he had to tell you first, you had to hear him, and then obey. And that's amazing.
Yeah.
Because.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
The thing that happened, just like anybody else, just like Benny Hinn said, once you start talking about this and against it, your friends, they just disown you. They disown you. And, you know, of course, he's just talking about the prosperity gospel. I'm not talking about the prosperity gospel. That's a fruit of it, but the root of it is merchandising. The root of the prosperity gospel, which he talked about the fruit, not the root, which is sad because now he's back into it again. But the whole thing is that the root of it is merchandising. And, you know, so when you do that, you open yourself up to, you know, the judgment of God now. And we're starting to see that we saw with Marcus Lamb, and it's just beginning. It's going to ricochet down to those, and God has warned him. Now he's dealing with it. Now he dealt with, everybody went in shock when Marcus Lamb went down. And, I mean, people were like afraid of me. They were going like, oh God, you know, what are you doing? I had nothing to do with any of it. I wasn't talking about him dying. I'm talking about God judging him, not as a person, being a good or bad person or not, but as a merchandiser. And God, when God chooses one thing to deal with and you choose to do that very thing he's saying don't do, you know, it doesn't matter what else you're doing. If you do that one thing, you can give to the poor and the needy. You can help Israel. Helping Israel, people think helping Israel will deliver them from anything. Helping Israel ain't going to help you with nothing. If you're in sin, you think helping Israel, you're going to keep on doing sin? You think helping Israel is going to give you favor so you can keep on sinning? It ain't going to happen. We help Israel because God says help Israel. Helping Israel does not. That's one thing Marcus, most people, if you watch the funeral thing and all that, they kept saying, Marcus kept saying, you know, when he knew he was dying in the hospital, he kept saying, I just want to help Israel more. I just want to help Israel. And I knew why he was saying it. He was saying it because he thought that God would surely preserve him because he's helping Israel. Helping Israel will not save you. Doing what Jesus says saves you. And yes, if you're doing what Jesus says and you're helping Israel, of course it's going to bless you. But you know, anyway, so this is a perversion where people think if you help Israel that you can do anything else you want to and you're going to be fine. Wrong.
Yes, because a couple of months ago you had mentioned, I wonder if you remember this as well, you probably do, about, I think I talked to you about this already, about how we cannot have formulas or manipulate God in our prayers or our intercession. And over the weekend, I was getting downloads about that. You know, this. Do you remember that a couple months ago you were preaching on that or teaching on that? Okay. So God was really opening that up to me. And I was like, wow, that is so good. Because he was showing me how even, you know, the world of intercession, it becomes sometimes formulas and stuff like that. And I wanted to ask you about something that came up in my quiet time. The whole seed time and harvest teaching, God was showing me some stuff about that because it becomes like a manipulation tactic. And when I did some research on that, Prophet Randy, it's not even, that came from a teaching, like almost like a new thought, like a new age, new thought thing. And then somebody back in the 30s or 40s, like around the Earl Roberts era, you know, like around there.
Yeah.
It was like a thing that kind of went into the body of Christ, like a whole new revelation, right? But it can become like a little bit witchcrafty because it's like formulas, like, oh, put a demand on God and all that command ye my hands.
Right.
When you read that scripture, God's not telling us to command his hand. He's saying, are you going to, with a question mark. And I got in trouble so many times because I brought that up in different meetings. I got rebuked, but
right.
I'm just like, go read the Bible, read it. God's not telling us to do it. This is a teaching that they're just regurgitating, and it's disrespectful because we don't command God's hand because he even says, are we going to do it? Because people read those scriptures out of context, like they read them, and like they put a whole teaching on a scripture that has a question mark, like God is asking, like, are you going to do that? No, he's saying no. So, like, there was just different teachings and stuff like that I actually researched, thank God, and looked into, and I was like, this ain't right. And the other one is, like, when they were teaching, like, that one's the whole tithing one. I'm not even going to go into that. But that's not the one. When Jesus said, consider not robbery, it's about, you know, him being, you know, he gave up his deity and all that. They were like, I don't know, there's teachings out there and big prominent teachers that are into this, you know. I don't know if I should mention names. You know who I'm talking about. They're from down there where you're at. No, they're from somewhere else. But the big time prosperity teachers, big ones with the jets and the, you know, everything. And I'm not against any man of God, because that's not my business. However, I learned that some of their teachings are not on the up and up, because you can't put a formula unto the Lord, and you can't like tell, you know, sow this seed and then expect. You have to expect. They shame you, like, if you don't. I don't know. I've been into all that years ago. Because I thought it was right, you know, like I was brought into it, and I thought it was the right thing, but it's not. Like, if you look into the whole teaching, it's not all the legit.
Well, just
so
anything in the Word of God.
That,
it doesn't have to be something that, you know, is New Agey or whatever. I mean, in anything in the Word of God, what they do is they turn, and we've all done it. I've done it. We've all done it to a certain degree. That's why God's cleansing us and washing us. Because he's like you're talking about tonight, where people are starting to see, you know, like that teaching was really used to manipulate. Well, you can take any scripture in the Bible, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You can take that and use that and manipulate people with it. So it's not just, there's so much that has been used to manipulate people. That's the sad part. And so, you know, I think that's what God's cleaning me up with. He's having me, you know, be careful how I say, what I say, my motives. It's about motive more than it is even about information. It's about the motive behind it. And so anyway, that's it. And so I'm really careful about what I say about people's motives, because I don't really know their motives unless God shows me their motive. But he does show me motives, and so at times, and so I have to deal with things according to the motive he shows me. And because sometimes we wonder why God deals with more significantly rough with more some people than others, and it's because of their motives. And number one thing is that he deals with them because their greater condemnation comes to the teachers. If you're a teacher and your motive is wrong, and you're teaching people and motivating people, the greater condemnation is going to come to you. And that's what happened with Marcus. Sad as it is.
because you told us last week about not the motive. So I'm glad I didn't mention anybody's name, because you're right. We don't know. I don't think it's – maybe it's not the – I think that they just regurgitate. You know, they just jump on this thing. And I think we
yeah. –
just like Paul said, we have to be Bereans and really look into this stuff, because you can get caught up in all the hype, you know. And
right.
I know I did, because I used to look to all these preachers and teachers like, oh, they, you know, oh, they know, and I don't know, and I'm, you know.
Right.
I just looked at, you know, them differently back then. Now I always, I read into everything. Like, I research everything. I don't take anybody's word, especially if I get that check in my spirit. Like, what do you mean, you know, so, you're right. We can't go by the motives. Maybe they're just going by what they was taught, and I don't know.
Yeah, somebody can be pure. Somebody's motives can be pure. Somebody's motives can be pure as a driven snow. And we hear them use the scripture that some other person using, but their motives were totally selfish. And so we have to be careful about the person that we judge. But you can eventually tell what their motive is. It takes a little time. Sometimes you spend more time with them, but if the motivation is everything, we judge according to the motive. Somebody can use a scripture that sounds manipulative, and their motive can totally be pure. You know, and because what's happened to a lot of people is here, and I want to move off this. I want to move on to the next caller, but what happens with people is, like, let's say. I've seen this before. People say, oh, okay, I see somebody giving $100. Well, I've had people go, you can't manipulate people by telling people you see people giving $100. Well, if God's showing you, you can, because I've had it happen to me. I was in a meeting one time, and I was against it back then. I said, you know, in my mind, I'm never going to do that. One time I'm in a meeting. No, it was my church. I was in a church, my own church, and I was sitting there saying, I see somebody giving $100. Well, what happened was, in my mind, I'm saying, I'm not going to do that. And the Lord said, there's somebody going to give $100. I want you to say it. I'm going, okay. So I did. And sure enough, what happened is that person had never given $100 that I knew of. And they had already written the check for $100. They didn't write it because I gave the word. They had already written the check for $100, and they were waiting for confirmation. Right? So I said, I see somebody is giving $100 today. And they went, oh, that's me. See, they had already done it. It didn't motivate them to give 100. You see what I'm saying? So my motive was
pure
because God was showing me. But
yeah.
Other people will do it to try to get people to give the $100.
So there you go. Thank you for that. You can't put anything, you can't discount or disregard anything or dismiss anything. You just got to be led by the Holy Spirit. Because
exactly.
That was good. Thank you for that. Before you leave, prayer, can you, I don't know if you want to pray for both Devontae and Andre, but if you do, I'm going to record it. Andre's
okay.
Family member, he's going through a lot of stuff, you know. His family member today, children's mother committed suicide. His brother's children's mother committed suicide today. And she has the niece and nephew are little. They're like young kids. And this young woman, 27-year-old woman, literally killed herself. So
Whose mother was it?
Andre's brother's children's mother. You know how they say baby mama?
Oh, right.
Yeah, so it's like he was cool with his brother's children's mother, but he hadn't talked to her like in months, almost like a year. So he's like tore up a little bit behind it. Because the brother and the children's mother broke up, but he was still in touch and cool with the children's mother because of his niece and nephew. You know, like when you're incarcerated, you need like your outside family member. You know, whatever
right.
phone calls, pictures, or whatever letters. So, like, he would keep in touch with his brother's children, his niece and nephew's mother. And she committed suicide, Prophet Randy, a young woman, a young girl.
Wow. That's sad. All right, let's pray. That's really sad. Okay. All right, let's pray about that. Thank you for bringing that up. We thank you, Jesus, for that situation, Father. We thank you for Andre, God, that you use. You use all things, God, to teach your people, to teach them, to bring them through, to break through in their heart, God. We thank you for Andre, God, that you are, you know, teaching him how to grieve, teaching him how to grieve, teaching him how to be sorrowful, what, you know, about their soul, about where their soul, you know, went, what their soul, what the condition of their soul was, and that it will bring an awareness of the condition of the soul of any person, because when we die, we have an eternity in hell or heaven, and we thank you, Jesus, that as you help Andre to understand how real this is and how devastating it is and how important it is to pray and, like, you keep in contact and love and share. And I thank you, Jesus, that he will even be more aware of his information that he gives out and the way he shares and the way he talks and the way he does things, how important that is to influence a person. Sometimes we can influence people. We don't have to say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus every 5 seconds. You know, and people that do that, I think, have less of Jesus than they act like they do, you know, because they have to say his name all the time. But when we say the name of Jesus, but not every 5 seconds when you're trying to make a point. You know, the thing is loving people, letting people know it's in Jesus' name you come, but just loving people, just loving them, be their friend, laugh with them, cry with them, be their friend, and then they'll open up to you. And I thank you, Lord, for letting this be a blessing for Andre, God, about the friendship of Jesus and how to, you know, minister to people, you know, in his from his position and where he's at. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. And Devontae, Father, here for Devontae, God, that you draw him to you, Jesus. God, that he begins to see Jesus on the cross and the sufferings of Christ. That the sufferings of Christ is what causes us to enter into the treasures of the Lord. You're putting things in order in him, God, showing him the order of God, how you do things, doing first things first. Get up in the morning, you know, there's certain things that you do, not just out of ritual, but out of, you know, understanding that there's an order to things and setting things in order in Devontae's life, Father, in Jesus' name, setting an order that will bless him, an order that will cause him to have fellowship with the Lord, and in Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go here to 831-596. Can I talk to you real quick, please?
Hi, Randy. It's Noelle in California. How are you?
Noelle, pretty good. How are you doing? Monday.
It's a Monday, right? Back to the real world in the new year, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Let's pray for you first before we start talking. We'll get to talking and we'll forget to pray. But let's do that. Let's pray for you first, if you don't mind. And thank you, Jesus, for Noelle. God, I thank you for putting first things first. Like when they came out of Egypt, when God brought them out of Egypt and they had put in the blood of the lamb or the doorpost, from that time forward, he said, you know, give your first of everything. Your first lamb is born. Give it to me. You're first of everything. And it was all about putting God first. And I thank you, Jesus, for this year, God, the first, everything the first. And I thank you, Jesus, for awakening Noel, God, to the first realm, to the realm of first, how to put God first. We put him first in so many ways, but yet there's a way that God says, put me first. And he made it very specific, detailed information as far as their, not just a physical thing, but when they gave their physical things, and he said, okay, give me the first, you know, calf or whatever that opens the womb, and the first child, the first, you know, whatever, give the first to me.
And so I thank you for that whole realm of giving the first to God, and how that when we do that, Lord, you honor us with the first. You honor us with the best. And I thank you, Jesus, that you're teaching Noel, Father, how to do that at a higher level, where we're learning how to give the first to you literally, not just spiritually. Oh, I give it first to you, give it first, like a lot of people do, but to literally, physically, like when God said, you know, give me your first, the first lamb that comes out of that, that's born from that mother lamb, the first baby lamb that comes, that the first one belongs to me, give it to the Lord. And everything, like there's a literal physical thing that they did that that God said, like Abraham when he gave up Isaac, when he yielded up Isaac, it was literally physically giving up something. And that, you know, God goes, yes, you know, faith without works is dead. And I thank you, Lord, for this whole other level of works with Noel, God, that you're teaching her the works of God. You know, when we do the works of God are many different things. They're, you know, many different things, from giving our first to, you know, the works of God, the miracles, the intervention, the God, you know, intervening in situations and breaking things loose, breaking treasures loose in our behalf, because we put you first, God. Literally, physically, we put you first. And most people don't know how to do that. I don't know that I know how to do that. Boy, I hope God's going to teach me this thing, that kind of thing, too, is showing more about that, so that we, that your blessings always come to the fullest. Amen. All right. All right, Noella, so what are you doing over there in California?
Thank you. Well, thank you for the prayer. I'll tell you what, Randy, I just want to tell you this. It's been, you know, I think I told you that I've had such a hard time praying in anything that was really more than, it was conversational, but it wasn't like praise, and it wasn't, you know, like I had a hard time reading the Bible, you know, and it's been for the last, I don't know how long, but, you know, I think it kind of went from when my mom excuse me, passed, and I think, you know, with the depression and all of that, you know, I just think it just I just got into a place where, I mean, I never doubted God, you know. I mean, that, yeah. You know, I mean, I knew God was still God, but sure. I kind of felt like, you know, like I ran out of minutes on my heavenly phone or something.
Yes.
And I knew what I knew, but, you know, I was going to say is, you know, and I haven't been able to pray for myself, and I haven't even been able to really, like, call in or whatever. I mean, I call in and I listen, you know, but, you know, to get on for prayer. And I just have to tell you that how blessed I am because of you, of course, and God, but the PGN, the network, Saturday night, called in for prayer with Carmen, right?
Carmen was
and
on
my
Saturday,
thing,
right.
It was Saturday or?
Saturday, right, yeah. Carmen's
yeah.
on Saturday, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want to get dramatic and say oppression and spiritual warfare, but I held my finger on my phone at the one without touching it. I can't tell you how long. It's like I just couldn't, you know, it was so hard to go there. And I thought, man, I need prayer, you know. I mean, I need some help here, you know. And so I did, and graciously prayed for me. And last night I called in, and Tanisha and Terrence.
Terrence,
prayed for me, and I'm on here with you tonight. And you know, for somebody that is having such a hard time praying for herself, you know, to have the prayer. And I mean, I feel freer, you know. I mean, I feel like there was things broken off of me just by the prayer, you know, just by ask for it, you know what I'm saying? And And I just feel like it's amazing. And to have a network set up like you have, where somebody can call in. I know like calling in every night is not ideal. But where somebody can call in and get prayer on a Saturday night, on a Sunday night, you know, on a Monday, you know, and talk to real live, you know, godly, Christian loving, God loving people that will pray for them is amazing, you know, and I'm blessed by it. Thank you very much for having this set up. Yeah, I mean, I look at, you know, a lot of times I look at the PGN sort of from a different perspective, you know, even though I look at it as somebody that's benefiting, you know, from prayer and from the, you know, and, you know, from, you know, from your teaching and your preaching. But I also kind of, there's a part of me that kind of feels a little bit behind the scenes, even though I'm not, you know, I just sort of look at it more like something that I'm a part of, you know, it may just be in my heart, you know, but, you know, I see it kind of like that, like, you know, so to be on that, to have received the prayer, you know, like I did and on a Saturday night. And I mean, you need somebody to pray for you on a Saturday night. You better have PGN's phone number because that can be a tall order, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was very blessed by that. Yeah. I like I said, I feel better with the prayer. I feel more, you know, like something's broken off. I feel like I have a empty slate on 22, and I need to, you know, I need to have my game on now, because last year I kind of gave myself slack for not having answers, you know, and I thought, well, when 2021 is over, you know. I mean, I'm going through this grief and this depression and, you know, dealing with these things, and then I'll have my answers, right? You know? And, you know, January 1st, I woke up. And, you know, I need, you know, I'm doing some things, but they're not enough, you know, in terms of livelihood, in terms of, like, knowing what to do next. And I trust God, you know. And I'm not wanting to miss it. I don't know if you, I don't know. You know, it's funny because Tanika and it's parents, right?
Right.
Yeah. They were, when they prayed over last night, I mean, they were talking about the little things, you know, and to not discount what God can do with them. And it was a really good word. You know, they talked about, you know, David and the giant, you know, and, you know, it was a small stone. I mean, it all made sense. But I've got so many little things that don't seem to be the big enough thing, you know, for the answer. And I don't know if I'm on the right track, you know, because I need to be, you know, I need to survive. And, even though, you know, I mean, I need to survive and not, you know, outlive whatever I have.
Exactly.
And they have day planners. And they have day planners that would take me there to the day, you know.
Right.
And I still have, you know, the other stuff going on with, you know, with my inheritance. You know, so
Your sister. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Hmm. That's been something I've had to really, I mean, that's a daily prayer. I mean, praying, you know, I mean.
I can imagine. Like,
oh, my gosh. And then I have to pray for forgiveness because I get angry or bitter, you know. And
It's
like I'm in the hot water, too, all the time because I'm hurt. I'm upset.
Go from bitter to better, from bitter to better, from bitter to better.
Right.
What's it going to be, bitter or better?
Right. God, go get her. She did it, not me.
Yeah.
How come I get to wear the
dunce? Her fault.
Why do I have to wear a dunce cap?
Yeah, why am I having to suffer over this? That's fine.
Right? I mean, it's right. And so it's like, you know, it's like besides, you know, constantly, like, because it's an ongoing thing that hasn't stopped, you know. So I'll get upset. I'll get bitter. I'll get, you know, I'll get afraid. And,
sure.
And then
I'm
praying for forgiveness for getting angry and getting bitter and getting afraid, right? You know, but I also know that regardless, there's still other things I need to be doing to, you know, get on my feet and move, you know, successfully, you know. And
right.
So anyway, I don't know if you have any word on that or not. I know that putting God first word was right on the money. You know, and I'm trying. I really don't want to. I don't want to mess up, and I don't want to miss it, and I don't want to get outside. You know, even you know the part of what I have to do of it being outside. You know, because some of the stuff I try to do, and I think, well, get busy, right? You know, you got to work. You know, and then you can be so busy not making enough and working, spinning your wheels when you're not doing what.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
Know,
causes us to hide what we have. I mean, because we're afraid we're going to lose that, you know, so I got to have that.
Yeah.
And like the parable of the one talent, the guy took his, people think, oh, he was such a bad person. No, he was fearful. He was very afraid. And the enemy wants to get us in fear. I've been in fear like that. I've had fear. I've been that person. And I can be that person, to, you know, rather quickly, I'm sure, again, if I got in fear. And so, you know, I think that parable is really to teach about all of us, you know, how to, what I keep hearing the Lord say about you, what he's been doing for you in the midst of what's been going on against you is that he's, now you have to hear this because I'm hearing this the whole time you're talking, right? I'm hearing this whole time. I wanted to stop you and say, hang on, I got something for you, but I wanted you to finish talking. That he is through the midst of you going through this thing of, you know, the bitter, better thing is that
mm-hmm.
what's been being worked in you is your receiver. Believe it or not, you kept saying, here's words you kept saying, and the Lord kept, I hear words, as you know, and when I hear words,
mm-hmm.
the Lord said, that's a big word right there. Okay. And they say, mm-hmm. and they say 100 other things, and they go, out of the 100 things, there'll be one word in there. The Lord said, that's a big word. So take that big word out of the 100, they said, and point that back at them and say, this is what's going on. And when you said the word you receive, when I heard you say that, the Lord said, that's a big word, right? And I'm going like, okay, what do you mean by that, receive? He says, tell her that what she's going through with this up and down and up and down thing, that he is doing something in the midst of this for one reason, and that is to open your receiver up to receive. I know it sounds simple. That's what, like you kept saying, yeah, you know, for me to call in to click that one and to receive, click that one. It was so hard to click that one and receive, but you know what? I finally did, and now I'm receiving. And the Lord said, tell her she's now in the receiving mode because she broke through. Just that one thing might not have seemed like much to you, I guess it did seem like a lot because you were into like how big it was for you to click one. And,
it was,
and
yeah.
That's what the Lord. Yeah, yeah. I think you just. I listen very closely when people talk. I listen very closely because the Holy Spirit says, listen to what they're saying, and I'm going to show you the important words out of maybe 100 words, or whatever. You know, he'll pick one or two or three words and say, this is what's going on. And so when I heard you saying all that, I'm going, she's breaking through. And what she's breaking through in is this situation she's going through that's so close, so intimate, that has to do with her daily bread, has to do with her survival, has to do with her, you know, all that. It had to be so intimate with you because you're a hard head, just like I am. To tell you that, girlfriend, you know, I call people girlfriend. I don't mean literally.
I've never been called stubborn or hard-headed in my life, Randy. It's shocking.
Oh, OK. Okay.
Let me see if
well,
I can get a shocked look on my face.
Okay. Well, maybe not stubborn, because I'm not stubborn or hard-headed in many ways. I'm a very vulnerable, very sensitive person, right? I mean, that's,
right.
You can't be a prophet and not be vulnerable and be sensitive. And I am. I'm very sensitive.
Yeah.
I have a very sensitive side of me, but I have many different sides to me. And I see that God's always dealing. Sometimes being stubborn is not necessarily a bad thing, as hard-headed as much as it is. When you believe something, you stick with it no matter what, right?
That's the thing. Yeah, it's not a stubborn. It's not a like a stubborn, hard-headed thing. Like in all of my life.
No.
But my kids are the ones that have said that to me. Like, you know, oh, she's going to dig in. You know, because I think that. You know, unless I know better, right? I'm not doing it, right? You can't move me.
Exactly.
I'm like a donkey. I'll sit there now, right?
You're
so
like a donkey.
I
didn't want to call you a donkey.
A donkey that sits down and won't move. And, you know, it's like,
right.
You know, oh, no, she sat down. It's a no, right? You know?
It's over.
Yeah. So you, so
we're
you
not
feel
gonna,
like the call.
We're not going
you,
there.
Yeah, right. Or at least not tonight. So you feel like the calling in was sort of breaking, was opening up the receiver to receive these things?
I think it's the fruit of what's been going on inside you with your battle. You know, because I'm going like, okay, every time we go through a battle, there's some kind of something God's going to do in the midst of it. Whether it's the devil or whether it's God or whatever it is, you know, God takes everything that's meant for evil, right, and takes and
mm-hmm.
turns it up for good, like we hear about Joseph all the time. So in that scenario, Joseph was the same way. When his brothers came against him, he was as stubborn as he could be. No, God told me this, and y'all are going to bow. It's kind of like, they're going like, we are not going to bow to you. But it wasn't because he was a bad person or a donkey and a wrong kind of donkey. When God showed him something, that was it. That's the way we're supposed to be, right? I think we're supposed to be like that. I was giving you a compliment. And putting myself in there. I was not degrading myself as much as I was complimenting you, because I know I'm the same way. Once I know something, possible to change my mind. Impossible.
Right.
Right. And so that's a good thing, not a bad thing. So what I'm saying is that so God has been working using this thing, this bitter better thing, which I've gone through this. I've talked about mine just recently, where I was moving out of the studio. Some guys, you know, stole some stuff. And I mean, you know, I watched them do it. It's like going, I can't believe this. I was being really good to them. And I talked about that just recently. And that snuck up on me. That snuck up on me. I was very honest about it on the show. I try to be as honest as I can so that people will know that even though you're a servant of God, doesn't mean that you don't go through things and learn things, and things can't sneak up on you. And I said that. I said, that snuck up on me. I was getting bitter, and I go, my God, I can't believe I'm getting bitter over this. This is crazy. And I go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, just like what you're talking about. And the Lord finally broke me through that. It took a little while. Took some time, and I tried to be honest about my timing. Oh, no, I confessed it, and it went right away. Not with me. No, bitter, better, bitter, better, bitter, better. And I just talk about it. I don't hide it. And so, you know, but in the midst of all that, God did a work in me. And what he did, and this is what I'm hearing about you, it opened up your receiver. So you calling in on the show and going through the battle of receiving was the fruit. That wasn't necessarily the breakthrough, but the fruit of the breakthrough with the struggle you've been going through with the situation. Doesn't mean it's over. It just means that you're breaking through. And the breakthrough moment for you is your receiver is becoming bigger. Yeah, can receive bigger so that you can receive what God has for you. You know, not that you haven't already received from God already, but he's taking you to another level. We go from level to level in our reception. We start out with 30, maybe. 30 is kind of high, but we can start with 30-fold, then we go into 60-fold, right, to receive, and then 100-fold. We go from level to level, right? And so that's what I saw happening, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, when you say receiver and fold, these things that I'm, you know, aside from the ongoing, you know, thing with my sister and that stuff, which is, you know, but, you know, as far as you feel like the answers and the God's leading and direction, you know, where what I need to be doing, you know, to make a living, what I need to be doing to, you know, set myself up, you know, for tomorrow and, you know, planning, you know,
yeah.
things like that. Do you feel like that's part of the receiving? Is those answers
yes.
that I'm seeking from? Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Right. So your receiver isn't just about receiving money. It's and I know you're not saying that, but I'm just saying that it's not just about receiving money. It's about receiving information. Your receiver,
right.
when your receiver gets bigger, you are able to comprehend deeper, higher, bigger. So what does your receiver do? Your receiver receives information from God to what to do. Right? If you can't receive more information, what are you going to do? You're not going to be able to receive it. Why? Because your receiver's not big enough yet. So what's God doing? He's making your receiver bigger so you can receive and go, oh, I've never seen that like that before. That's receiving bigger. I've never noticed that before. I've never seen that before. That's your receiver seeing, you know, seeing more, seeing broader, seeing bigger, and seeing answers, you know, is what to do. Sometimes God doesn't give me specific answers for people because the big thing that I do and that God has me do is that he doesn't get people addicted to me. They get addicted to the prophetic ministry. The prophetic ministry is to get people to hear from God, that when they receive
right.
something, they hear it from God. And I might confirm it once they get it, but he doesn't always want me to tell them. He wants them to receive it from him, and then they call him one night and go, well, you know, that's confirmation for what I received. So that your dependency is upon Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and I just confirm it. I'm not your source. As you know this as well as anybody.
Right.
I'm not your source. Most people know, PGN, I'm not their source. But what we have is a place to where we can prophesy in the prophetic realm. To me, it's the shepherd realm of the prophet. Gets people to draws them to depend on Jesus, and then I just confirm it to them.
Yeah, I've been doing what I know to do, and I have made some big mistakes this year. You know, I mean some big mistakes, and you know, but there's a couple of constants that I'm still doing because it's all I know to do. It's not enough, you know, but I've just been, you know, and I've been asking God for wisdom and, you know, willing, you know, I just, and I kind of felt like I needed to do what I know to do and just in the daily, you know, be having the conversations
yeah.
with God till I know better, you know, till I see different, you know. But yeah, no, I that's interesting about the receiver. You don't hear me talk, you know, all the time about, you know, warfare, you know, spiritual warfare and this and that. I mean, I've had
right.
it, I believe. But you don't, you know what I'm saying? It's not, you know, like, you know, I mean, I don't live, you know, for the drama of it. I don't want it. Nobody does, you know. But when I had my finger over the one and I could not push it, I couldn't, you know, I mean, it was just like a battle, you know? And I thought, man,
yeah.
I don't even know what this is, but I know if it's keeping me from getting prayer, it's not good, right? What we say that, whatever it is.
Right.
So I was very thankful, you know, and I was very thankful. And I appreciate you praying, and I appreciate the word on the opening up the receiver. Because opening up that receiver can be wisdom, it can be favor, it can be communication with God, hearing him better, you know, it can be
yeah.
a lot of things, and probably too, you know, he's got a plan with this stuff with my sister, and it may not be you know, it may not look like what I think it is, you know, or should be today, right? He might want to, you know, whatever, and I just have to trust, you know, I mean, today, like, you know, if he wants me to do other things tomorrow, but until I have that, I need to really get my peace and God on it, you know, and not lose my mind in it, you know. But there is one thing I wanted to real quick. I don't have the answer to this, but I just want to throw it out there. And I heard you say you were looking around, and again, you know, there's something possibility on studio in that. And, you know, whether you find the studio tomorrow or you find it in 6 months, you know, it's going to take probably.
Yeah.
We don't.
More than likely,
I'm not going to. I mean, I'm not going to eliminate, you know, a gift of a studio, but I just want to throw this out there. And so, like, if you find it tomorrow and the funds aren't there, that would make it a lot harder, you know. Not impossible, but, you know, so I just thought that, you know, even if there was something like, because, you know, you have to run your ministry and you have your expenses and that in the meantime, you know. So I was just thinking that maybe on the studio, on the building fund, you know, I'm just throwing it out there, like maybe some kind of special night that's aside from the, you know, something that would be over and above the normal donations. Like, you know, even like a special night where you have a couple of guests praying with you or something on, you know, and it's not there Thursday. Just something. I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, special
I just thought
time,
that,
yeah, like Friday or something or something.
Exactly.
Yeah, gotcha.
Where it was like designated, this is not your, you know, this is not your support of the ministry. This is for the, you know, over and above for the building. But, you know, just something like that.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing it out there as an idea to noodle so that we, you know, kind of keep the support going in that direction. And because I know there are a lot of times, you know, people give, you know, on a Thursday night, but and then put building fund, which is great, you know, except for your ministry still has to, you know, survive and flourish. And, you know, you might want to get equipment, you know, you might need whatever. So, you know, or, you know, so anyway, I'm just throwing that out there.
Okay. Yeah. 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 When the right time, I'm not against raising money. You know, people think, oh, if you really believe in merchandising and not merchandising, that you don't believe in raising money. No, I believe in raising money. It's the way you raise money. You know, you can raise money without selling anything and do it manipulatively and deceitfully. You know, you just do it because if you're doing it because God's telling you to do it, number one, and you do it the way he tells you, you know. And so, I think I love the way. Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
I was going to say that when Paul and Jan Krauss used to raise money, I mean, they would get up there, preachers would preach, and then they'd let people give, you know, and people would get excited about the preaching and ministry, and they weren't selling anything. They were just preaching the Word of God, and people would love to give. I loved it when they did that. So, you know, there's ways to raise money without, you know, manipulating, wheedling. It's all the motive, but your motivation. So we keep our motives clear and clean.
Sure. Yeah, I don't think anybody's ever had a doubt on the motivation at all. I just think that, you know, I just didn't want it to get – I just wanted to throw it out there so it didn't get pushed to the side and then it not be accruing for you. That's all. So that, you know, and
– Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. Just something to noodle, maybe a different approach, you know, like, you know, if – you know, I don't know if Thursday night, I don't know what – how that worked for you, you know, but maybe, like you said, maybe a Friday night, maybe a once a month Friday marathon, and you have some prayer warriors sit in with you or something, or, you know, I don't know.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just...
yeah, some
just
preacher
it out
preaching
there.
Or something. Or...
Well,
yeah, I love
go.
It. I love it.
I mean, yeah.
You know, I love, you know, raising money is great. There's nothing wrong with raising money at all. I'm all
nothing
for that.
Wrong.
And,
and it's also an opportunity.
Yeah, yeah.
It reminds people and it gets people excited. You know, people when the building fund, when we were having some double things and that kind of thing, People got kind of excited about that, and that was fun, you know, and it was fun to be a part of it, you know, and it was exciting, you know, because it's a dream, and it's, whether it's this moment, you know, the build, you got the keys to the building, or, you know, tomorrow, whatever, you know, the more prepared, probably the easier, you know, so.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I love it. I love it. Of course. I agree. I totally agree. Yeah. I'm just, I've been in a season of giving. I don't really talk about it much, but I've been giving. We've been giving, you know, I can't, you know, I don't know how much I can say about this, but for the last 4 months, maybe, we've given a lot. And so I haven't said anything about it because, you know, I'm not doing it as, you know, for any other reason than God's just, when God tells me to give, I know I'm getting ready to receive, you know? So
awesome.
When I give, I know when he has me giving, it's, and he has me give in different ways, you know, different ways. And, some to God's people, some to people that are not God's people. And so but it's all the motivation of the Holy Spirit when he tells me to do something. So I've been doing that. And the reason, one of the reasons my expectation is up is because I don't want to say how many thousands of thousands that we've given, but, and it's not, none of it really came, very little of it came out of the ministry account, but came from some other things. And the Lord just says, I want you to give and give and give and give. And so I knew what that meant because he hasn't done that to me in a long time. We always give. We always help the poor and the needy, always, out of the ministry money. We always do that. We help people who can't help themselves, mostly. We don't usually help people who can give back to us. We do that sometimes. You know, eventually they get on their feet and they give back. But our main motivation is, we give to those who can't give back. That's what we do. That's what we spend most of our ministry money, you know, giving to help people. But then there's a whole nother side where I can't talk about it because it exposes too much. But it's and here's the problem. I don't mind sharing it. It's just that if I do, my reward's not going to be, you know. And so that's what I'm believing God for. Yeah, the building and the ministry and all that. The blessing is going to be because I kept my mouth shut about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so if I open my mouth, I'm going to ruin it all. You know, that's why I can't really talk about it. But because he's telling me to do this thing he's had me do for the last several months, I mean, it's been several months. It's maybe five. I can't remember how many months. I haven't really stopped to figure it out because it didn't matter, but when I saw him telling me to do that, I'm going, oh boy, here we go. I get excited when people give, you know, when people give into PGN or give to me or whatever, you know, as far as to PGN, whatever. But when he has me giving, you know, and it's a lot, I'm going, whoa, baby, get ready because this thing is fixing to happen, man, because it's more blessed to give than it is to receive,
right.
You know, because
right.
In giving is when you activate what, see, I'm sorry, I'm giving you a word tonight about receiving, right? That's the word I'm giving. That's the word you're getting tonight from the Lord tonight through me. It's about receiving, right? So I'm just now kind of connecting this. So when he has me doing this thing, I know what it's going to activate. It's more better to give, not because giving is so wonderful. Oh, Randy, you're so awesome. Oh, Noel, you're so awesome. You're so that's cool, and I love it when people say, you know, God's really using you. I really love that. But that's not the point. The point is giving activates the receiving. And so you see what I'm saying? So when that happened, but so when giving activates receiving, then you receive. Why? So you can pay for things and give more. Pay for things and give more. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt,
all that money that they got out of Egypt wasn't just for them to give to the church or to give to Moses to build the tabernacle, right? They gave some, and they kept some for their house, for their homes, for their future, for their inheritance to their children, you know. But it was given to them to give and for their needs to be met. And that's just the way God does it. So, anyway, I don't know why I got up from all that, but it's so I'm excited right now. My expectation level goes up, which is what draws the blessings in when I'm in a giving mode, not in a receiving. I love the receiving mode. I love it. It is a blessing. I've sang songs about it. Oh, I just love the money. I don't love the money, but I love I love receiving the money. You know, I do. I talk about this. I've sang silly little songs about how I love receiving the money. I love receiving the money. I don't love money, but I love receiving it. But you know what is more blessed is when you're giving it, when you're giving, not just money, but other things. When you're giving it, get ready, because you're going to open up because when your expectation from God, you know, gives, opens up, then your receiver is about to receive a massive amount. And that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. So if I talk about it, I'm going to be bragging about it, so I'm not going to talk about it. So that's it.
That is paying. You know, I mean, if God's talking to you and you're working in obedience and you have anticipation, I mean, that's a giddy feeling. You know, that's an exciting feeling.
Yeah. Because this is what people don't realize, is that the giving creates a drawing from within you, where you draw it out from God. You don't take it from God. You draw it from him. Why? Because you're giving. Given you shall draw. Given you shall receive. And when you give, what it does is it supernaturally gives you a supernatural expectation. And when that's a supernatural expectation from God, not just a human thing, I want something, I need something, but when it's birthed by God through you giving, then it comes and nobody can stop it. It's the way you do it.
That's interesting, because, you know, I've for decades, you know, I've listened to so many different preachers, and I can remember in some of the, you know, the name it, claim it, you know, stuff, you know, but, you know, sometimes it'd be like, who was it? Oh, goodness, Benny, I want to say Benny Hinn, it might not have been, but there were several sort of in his circle, you know, and in his prime days, that would be like, you know, like to donate money and then put like an expectation back on it kind of thing. You know, that I know you know what I'm talking about. And that, at first it didn't bother me. And then I kind of was like, I don't know if I like that, you know. But I know that there's got to be an anticipation that's not, you know, that's good. You know, I mean, you know, I mean, just doing for God, you know, you get that feeling, right? And then you get blessed and you're like, wow, how good is that? But do you think that there's like a holy anticipation, or like an anticipation that's right in it? And then do you think that people abuse the anticipation, like it's not really from the heart? They're buying their, you know, their new Escalade. They want an Escalade, and they think that's the payment towards it, you know, something.
Yes. Expectation is a God thing, but it's the way the expectation is created. Like I was trying to explain, it's more blessed to give. You know, I mean, I'm not trying to get people to give so they'll have an expectation of receiving something to manipulate them.
Right.
As you know, we're not really talking about that. You know that, and I know that. But what I am saying is that I'm just saying, I could tell that God was getting ready to bless PGN and bless me, because PGN and me were one. I mean, you know, I feel like the father of it. God birthed it, you know, in me and through me and all that. And so I'm one with it. So I feel like I'm the father of it, if you will. And so because of that, you think about it completely different. So when I realized that God, I mean, it was supernatural the way it happened. I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't looking for it. All of a sudden, you know, I got some phone calls, and the Lord said, you know, well, anyway, I'm not gonna make God look bad.
Okay.
He snuck it on me, so that I would not do it on my own, because I know better than to create my own expectation by giving. So God snuck it up on me. All of a sudden, I'm going like, and the Lord says, "Okay, this is it, Randy. This is it.
Wow.
Give, give." And when I heard him say that to me, I knew that he was going to create an expectation in me that I would not even talk about. People aren't going to find out what it is, because I'm not going to tell them. I don't think, unless he tells me to tell them. Okay. But for the most part, I keep it quiet, because what happens is the quietness of it, if I've been bragging about it, then it would have looked like I'm trying to create an expectation in other people. But what if I keep it quiet, right, and do it as under the Lord, then what it does is it creates a supernatural expectation in me. And all of a sudden, I start seeing people give and get blessed and give and give and give. And they're going, "How did that happen, Randy? How did that happen?" And I go, "I don't know if I can tell you or not. I don't. Wait till it's all over, and then I'll tell you." When Solomon gave 1,000 bulls to God, bulls were a big thing. Bull is a big thing. But when he gave 1,000 bulls to God, he did it because he wanted to, because God told him to, or he didn't tell him to, but he asked him. He drew him into that. He drew Solomon into giving 1,000 bulls and a lot more. And then the next day, God says, he knew he did it. God drew him into it. He didn't have to do it. He did it because God drew him. And he goes, this is my opportunity, because God drew me into this. He gave it. The next day, what did God do? He didn't bless him with money. He blessed him with much more than that. He says, "Solomon, what do you want?" Oh, my God. And when God asks you what you want, when it's responded to from the heart of God within you, that is desire. That is your receiver. And when God says, "What do you want?" In other words, what do you want to receive, Solomon? He says, "Well, I just want wisdom to judge God's people." And that's all. And God goes, "Oh, my God, man, this dude is rocking my world. All he wants is wisdom to judge my people." That's the one that I wanted him to ask for. But I was, you know, I'm not saying God didn't know he was going to ask for it. But when he asked for that and that was it, he said, "Well, you know what now? I'm going to bless you with money. I'm going to bless you with this. I'm going to bless you with that, because you didn't ask for it." You see what I'm saying? That was a God-birth passion that God drew Solomon into. And when he did it, when he gave it, it opened up the heart of God. And God says, "What do you want?" This is going on between him and God. Nobody else. Nobody else is hearing this conversation. It was private. Now, he did the 1,000 bull thing publicly, but his motive wasn't just a public thing. It was a between him and God thing. And because he did, God drew him an expectation that God wanted him to ask for, and he asked for it. And when he did, he went, "Oh, Lord." He said, "Solomon, this is amazing. I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to give you so much more." That's where I'm at right now.
Absolutely. I mean, how much, but, you know, with Solomon and, you know, asking for the wisdom, how many people, truthfully, how many people would have asked for that over, you know, the kingdoms and all the money, right? You know, I mean, it would be a very, very, very rare person that would be that astute with what they needed to righteously, you know, be over people knowing they need the wisdom versus their desires, you know, of other things. So
he lived with a father who was a king. He lived with a father who was a king. He saw the inner turmoil. He saw that what created problems. He saw all of it. he knew things that most of us don't get a chance to see. And I think in his wow. heart, he said he realized what his father David had in many ways, even though he failed in many ways. He saw that his father David needed and had the wisdom to judge God's people, and David did really good at that. David was a really good judge of people. He messed up, but overall he had that. And I think Solomon saw that in David, and that David had a heart after God, which meant that when God said, Solomon, what do you want? And Solomon responded with that, he was responding with, like his father David, with a heart after God. And that's why God went, oh, man, you have really impressed me today because you're like your father. You know, yes, he's really messed up bad, but David had a heart after me. And he said, you just displayed, Solomon, a heart after me. Therefore, I'm going to bless you abundantly.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's amazing, man. I mean, I haven't even talked about this because I've just never talked about it. You know, tonight's the first time I've even mentioned any of this at all, but I can recall it. But that's what's going on, and I'm not trying to get people to do or not do anything. We're not trying to. That's why, you know, I hear you about raising money, and I'm for raising money. I'm all for raising money, because that's what Solomon did. But he did it.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this. He did it under the right timing. When he got mm-hmm. God's attention with what he gave, and God says, what do you want, Solomon? And when God asks me what I want, and if I answer him correctly, Noel, he's going to go, okay, just go tell people you're going to raise money for the temple. Like, okay, we're raising money for the temple now, and it's going to come in so much that I'm going to have to say, stop. No more gold, no more money.
Right.
Stop it. It's enough. Why? Because we did it God's way. And we weren't after the money.
No. Well, you know, when I brought it up, and I thought about it, you know, earlier, you know, today, you know, I was thinking about it, and I thought, I don't have, like, the concept, you know, the way to go with it. I just wanted to bring it to the forefront again because I was concerned, you know, I'm a little, and then when you talked about it tonight, you know, I thought, oh, you know, we got to, you know, I want to say we got to get busy, you know, but I mean, but it, maybe it's not, we got to get busy. Maybe it's like, maybe there's something out of this conversation or not, or something, you know, God shows you in a couple of weeks where, you know, it's like a different angle of it or whatever. But I didn't connect with the story on Solomon, that, you know, that personal side of it that you said with his father, you know, I just, that's the first time I've heard it like that. And so that would be why somebody in his position would be prone to ask for that wisdom, you know?
Right.
If he had his heart.
He could have asked for other things. But, you know, he, you know, because a lot of the other sons of David didn't ask for that,
mm-hmm.
and they were messed up. But Solomon, you know, was fresh with his father. He saw that his father had a heart for God. I think everybody did. And he realized, because once David did fall, judging God's people and getting wisdom to judge God's people is a big thing, because if you judge them wrongfully, it's bad for the kingdom. Everything falls apart. But if you judge God's people correctly, then they love you, and God is blessed, and God is honored, and God blesses it. And so God mm-hmm. takes care of business. You don't have to take care of business. Just do what he says. So he Thanks. Saw that, and it was fresh on him. And I think that when he gave, you know, the thousand bulls and all that, that was totally God drawing him to do it, to give him a choice. I'm sure God says, you can give 100 bulls, that'd be a lot. You can get 500 if you want. You got them. You can get 1,000, but give whatever you want. What do you want to get? You know, he kind of puts it in his heart like that. And Solomon goes for the glory, the 1,000. The 1,000 means glory. I want to give you complete glory, God. I want to go for the whole thing. It's going to be costly. You know, I don't have to do this. I know I don't have to, you know, but I'm going to do it because I want to go for the full thing, the full heart of God. And he did it. And then God, when God says, if you can wait on the Lord for him to ask you what you want, when you've pleased him with your giving and he's asking you what you want, then you've got it. If you answer correctly, that is. And so he did. Because you could have answered wrongly, you know.
I can think of like 20 wrong answers right off the top of
me
my
too.
Head.
Me too. Are you kidding
like,
me? Me too, girl.
Maybe not that one, but oh, yeah.
You could think of a lot of things that would even sound better than that, you know. But when you look at the heart of God and you see why that touched the heart of God, because God loves his people. He wants his people to be just. That's the problem that Israel had was they had bad judges. Mike, they judged the people wrong. Ruined his people was bad judges. You see what I'm saying? Bad kings who made bad judgments. They made selfish judgments. So when God got a king who says, and Solomon eventually made some, in his older age, he made some wrong judgments. But, you know, for many years, he did really good. But when you start seeing it, you start understanding why God had him, gave him the option, you know, in his heart, what to ask for. You can ask for a lot of things.
Yeah.
He said, I really love my people, and when you're judging my people correctly with my judgment, then things go well, and my people are happy. Because God wants his people happy. I want my people blessed.
Right.
And I want everybody to get along. And good judgment does that. When there's justice and fairness going on, like in America, when that goes on and people are truly getting justice and fairness, there's not bitterness and resentment. You didn't treat me right. You're prejudiced. You know, I mean, when true judgment, good judgment is done to a country or a nation or a church or a people or a household, it brings peace.
It does. It brings peace. And, you know, the righteous judge of anything, you know, doesn't want unfairness. He doesn't want injustice on people and them being in bondage. And so that was God, you know. I would guess. I'm pretty sure God knew the answer before he gave it and was just probably just waiting for him to just say it so he could bless him like that, you know? What a beautiful request on the wisdom and what a beautiful response from God, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was perfect. It was exactly what God wanted. He wanted his king. When Jesus comes back, when things will be known about him, is that he's going to rule with justice. He's going to rule. He's going to judge his people correctly. That's one of the things he's going to do when he comes back. What's he going to do? He's going to judge people, right? The righteous judge is going to be judging. And when Jesus gets through judging, everybody's going to know, yeah, that was the right thing. Yeah, it was truly just. They're not going to go, hey, you messed that one up, man. My kid didn't do that. You know, I mean, the truth, people aren't going to be able to spread bad rumors about you and lie about you. And then the judge goes, well, you know, the lawyers presented it better than your attorney did, so you're going down, even though they were wrong, not wrong, even though they didn't do the wrong thing, you know, they were the good person. Because the judge decided to judge them according to the good, persuasive, high-dollar lawyer. Injustice came to a people, and they spend their life in prison over injustice. What kind of heartache does that bring to a family? And, you know, and God watches all of it, and he hates it. That's why when Solomon asked for that, he said, that's it, man. And I'm going to give it to you. When that woman came that said, this is my baby, and the other one said, it's mine, they were both prostitutes.
Mm-hmm.
They were prostitutes. Mm-hmm. They weren't mothers with, you know, they were prostitutes. They came and they said, which one, you know, what did God do? He brought justice. He gave him a thing to bring truth. Who would have known whose baby that was when you don't have a DNA test? You could have done it. These days, it would be easy. Get a DNA test,
right,
bring it back. But they didn't have that. So what did God do? He gave him judgment, the right way to. He got a sword going to threaten to cut the baby in half. That didn't sound like good judgment to some people, but it brought the answer and brought justice
mm-hmm.
to the right mother.
Mm-hmm.
And that was God that did every bit of that. God gave him, inspired him to do
That's
every
amazing.
Bit of that.
That is,
to bring
yeah,
truth.
That is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing, for sure. Woo, my voice is going out on me. I think I'm going to have to call
yeah.
it back, y'all.
Well, thank
I'm
you
talking.
So much, Randy.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
love it.
And thank you for the prayer. And I love the word. I'm going to listen to it again and wrap my head around and open up my eyes and my heart to that word because it's very promising to me.
Yeah. Yeah, God wants you to receive. He wants you to receive from him. The thing that thrilled Jesus more than anything, when Peter gave the answer he gave, when Jesus said, who do you say that I am, Peter? When he said, by the Spirit of the Father, the Son of the Living God, and then Jesus says, you got that right. Why? Because you know what made Jesus a really good shepherd? Is that he got people in contact with God. Where God could guide them, where God could lead them. He didn't want to be leading them. He wanted to lead them to the Father. And he said, there's going to become a time when you're no longer going to ask me anything. You're going to be asking the Father. That's what Jesus said. Why? There is a time that people ask us. But if we're truly shepherds, we're going to be guiding people to the Father. And then one of these days, I'm going to say to somebody like you or whoever else, even myself, what's God telling you now? What are you saying? What do you say? Who do you say he is, Noel? And you give some answer we've never heard of before. Go, oh, my God, the Father has spoken to you. Noel, you have connected with the Father. And you know what the Lord's going to say to me if I helped you get there? Mm-hmm. You're going to say, good job, Chandler. You got mm-hmm. her in my hands where I can
mm-hmm.
talk to her, where I can speak to her, and then you confirm it. You know, or whatever.
Amen.
But I spoke. Yeah, that's what the Father wants. That's what pleases the Father more than anything. Our shepherds that are not getting people to be addicted to them. Yes, do they need us for a season? Absolutely. God makes it that way. He makes it where you need the
mm-hmm.
shepherd, the under-shepherd. But the under-shepherd brings them to the chief shepherd who eventually, like Peter with Jesus, says, who do you say that I am, Peter? And when he came back and said, thou art the Christ, and Jesus said, oh, man, I've done my job really well because that's the Father speaking to you. And that's my dream, is that you hear it from the Father.
Yeah, amen.
And so any prophetic words, teaching, all of it, that's the. If we're not heading there, then God's saying, I'm not pleased with you, Randy.
No, I mean, it's encouraging. You know, it's encouraging and hopeful to me. So that's, and I needed that. You know, I feel like I'm looking at, you know, the year without answers, right? I want wisdom. I want to do it God's way. I want to, you know, don't want to miss it, you know, with him or
right.
my life or what I need to do. So that receiver word is so encouraging to me. And that's going to keep me talking to God about it. And I feel like
yep.
with the prayer the last few days, I feel like that oppression is lifted or lifting, you know.
Yeah.
I have a lot of relief from that. And I'm very thankful and very grateful for that. And I thank you for your prayers and your word and for,
mm-hmm.
for you know, having some, I mean, really, you know, I mean, even though I, you know, I feel like I'm, you know, part of this just by my heart for it and, you know, the longevity,
yeah.
you know, but, you know, I really want to let you know that that was a blessing to be able to call in and get prayer on a Saturday night, you know,
yeah.
from Carmen, and a Sunday night from Terrence and Tanisha. And here I am Monday night, you know, I'm talking to you and getting prayer. And I needed it you know, I wanted it, but I needed it, and I feel so much, I feel blessed, so blessed by it. So good, you know, good job on TGN, right?
Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Exactly. Yes, I want the Father, we want the Father to say, I want him to say to me for sure, because I'm the one who's kind of, you know, as he controls me, as he does, as I allow him to control me, and I control PGN because he controls me. If that's what's really happening, and he's saying, he's going to say to me, through you or through others or just him himself, say, you know, Chandler, you're doing such a great job. What do you want? And I'm going to like going, yeah, that's what I'm looking for. When God says, what do you want? It's like,
amen.
You have arrived. If you give
amen.
The right answer. The right answer is important. But.
Boy, you know what? That if you give the right answer is the scary part.
It is. It is.
Every time you say that, I feel like I swallow my heart.
I know, me too. Well, I've often thought that. What would I ask for? In all truth, what would I ask for? You know, he wasn't making stuff
right?
up. He wasn't like going, trying to think of the best answer. That really wasn't his heart. Or God would have said, that's not really in your heart. What's really in your heart? What do you really want? But it really was what he wanted. And it was, God put it there. God needed him, again, to acknowledge it. You know, this is what I want. I want what you want. I have a heart after God. God goes, yeah, I can see that, man. That is awesome. Great job, Solomon. Yep.
Beautiful thing.
Uh-huh. All right. My I don't know if you can tell or not, my voice is about gone. I don't know why.
I can hear it.
I feel great. I feel awesome. My voice is trying to go out on me a little bit. But I keep drinking water, I'm drinking a lot of water tonight, trying to keep my voice right. But either way, it's all good.
Okay. Thank you so much, and I hope that your voice is better tomorrow when you get up. And God bless you, and thank you again. I'm going to listen again and take that word up to God and get encouraged.
Yes, that's what we need. We need courage. We need courage, encouragement. All right, Noelle, thank you so much, and we love you and appreciate you, and we really appreciate your love for Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Randy. You have a good night. Thank you.
Okay.
God bless you.
All right, thank you. All right, everybody, we're going to call it a night tonight, mainly because my throat, my voice is just kind of like, woo. You know, it's only, what time is it? I don't know, 12:30? But sorry, I missed you guys. See, we have more callers there tonight. We'll have to get you tomorrow night. All right. I do apologize for that. So, all right, we will see you guys tomorrow night.